This episode of The A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
You know, I'm kind of bummed I haven't heard much from KYT this cast, man. I was looking forward to, like, hearing more from these guys.
Do you ever?
That's kind of how it works. It hasn't changed much with you.
Yeah, but my appetite for KYT and Jay Bruges is so voracious.
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic-playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI Court for crimes they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal palm-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team.
KYT.
Anything that costs a shit ton of mana, you're just like, bang! And they're like, fuck.
How does that go?
Bang! Fuck.
Jay Boosh.
And that's like the hyper angle. I never want to play in another GP again. I never want to play in another GP.
Jeremy.
And you're the reason I play Magic today. I'm like, I just like, I died. I was like just melting on the inside like that. I have inspired this kid to play Magic.
And Matt.
So I did in fact win the damn pizza. So you can tell Jay he should chip in.
And now, The A-Team.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 269 of The A-Team Podcast. This is KYT, and I just abruptly started the show. So, how's it going, boys? My favorite boys in the universe. How's it going, Jer?
Hello. I'm doing great. I'm very, very tired.
Are you?
Oh my goodness.
Dead time's in 60 minutes? Hopefully we can sneak a Mexican in here before you go to bed.
Yeah, yes, bedtime is soon, and work has been redonkulous.
Whoa.
My right arm hurts so much that my social agenda is completely shot for tonight.
But you gotta stay, like, are you gonna leave the computer on? Because we need that backup recording.
Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna leave. I won't leave.
All right. We got Matt in the house. What's up, Matt?
Hello.
Ooh, hello, hello. Sexy. I checked out your stream.
Oh, yeah? Finally.
He never checked out my fucking stream.
Oh, yeah, that is fact. That is fucking fact. And we got Jay. I was late, so I can't say fresh off of shit, because it's been, like, probably half an hour, but how's it going, Jay?
Not bad. I, like, took out wicked liquid shit, and then immediately had to shit again after I got up. Those are the worst.
So is that like code for your streaming? Is that why you never got viewers? Because
wow, hey, everybody loves celebrity crap chat. You don't even know.
But yeah, I was checking your stream, man. They had decent amount of viewers, even though it wasn't even deep into it. Like, you just started like one round and people were watching already. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah. I hit 85 viewers on Friday.
85, Jay. How many did you get?
Total or on Friday?
On Friday.
Oh, on Friday I didn't get any.
Okay, what about total?
Total, I think I had like a little bit.
About the same, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I actually think 85 is insane without any...
Oh! It's true. That's true. Point, yeah. Streaming and playing Magic at the same time is in fact difficult.
Who made the layout for you though?
He did, obviously.
Yeah, I did.
But it looked like I think I said that it looked insane.
Yeah, no one ever made the layout. Thanks everybody.
Thanks to everyone who encouraged Jay. Yeah. Fuck all of you.
You should stream. We'll never watch you stream, but you should. We'll keep telling you that. We'll never ever watch. But you should stream.
I think one of the cool things about Matt's layout is something that I've either never seen or rarely seen, is that he fit his deck list on the right side.
Oh my god, you Hearthstoned it.
Oh, is that okay? Yeah. I mean, I just figured if I'm streaming something that's off the beaten path, that I should have the deck list up there. I haven't decided whether I want the chat on there too, because I know that some people will put the chat on their screen as well, but I don't know, I kind of feel like there's a it just adds an extra thing. So right. And it's weird though that people will still ask where they can find the deck list at.
Oh, okay.
I so still actually field that question like every time I stream, at least twice. They're like, where can we find this deck list? And I'm like, well, it's on Twitter, and then like right above me to the right of the screen, you can see the deck list.
Do you answer in an asshole tone?
I do not.
Yeah, I mean, that thing, I don't think I've seen anyone else do it, and I feel like once some of the top, I think it's a must, once some of the top streamers see that you're doing that, I would just rip it off. Like, if I was doing a stream today, that's absolutely what I would have to have, especially if I'm streaming Constructed.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm glad I'm doing something right. I'm glad people enjoy it. So I welcome any feedback. So if anybody has anything, they can, incorporating all sorts of ideas. So if you have any feedback for me, hit me up on Twitter at Matt Mendoza, or via email at mattjmendoza@gmail.com.
Sweet. And you were streaming your unbelievable deck. And I assume you played that at the SCGIQ. I'm assuming it's modern. Was it modern?
I did, and yes.
How would you do that?
A disappointing 4-2. I have had a frustrating string of near misses, and it's encouraging and discouraging at the same time, because you're like, my deck.
Disencouraging.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, disencouraging. It's like the deck is strong and can absolutely get there, but I keep making these like decisions where afterwards I'm like, what was I thinking? And like, and mostly it ties to mulligan decisions, because with that type of deck, like in modern, you really have to judge, making your mulligan decisions is pretty key. And there's certain things that you have to look for depending on what your matchup is. And they're just like game three is where I'm on a clutch mulligan decision, and I make the wrong choice. I make the wrong keep. So, I mean, it's just like frustrating to like see myself miss day two because of one or two matches that I absolutely could have won had I just made different decisions. Day like the Super Sunday series, I went 7-2, but I could have easily, it could have easily been an 8-1 and a top 8 finish had I just made one mulligan decision in a game three of a match that I lost. And then this one, again, it's just, I was like, I could have 5-1'd and had I just made a different mulligan decision. And it's a learning process. I mean, it's like that frustrating point where you're at a skill where you make mistakes, but you're smart enough and you're good enough to know that you are making a mistake, and you are able to recognize them, but you're not, you're not like, at the point where you're not making them yet. I don't know if you guys have gone through this with anything, but like, ugh, it's just so frustrating, especially when you're like, when you're in my position where you're trying to tell somebody that, oh, this deck is awesome. And then you just like, as the architect of the deck, you just keep like, you keep
fucking up.
Yeah. Basically you just keep missing these high profile finishes that get your deck and your creation recognized. But, so I did send a friend of a friend wanted to play my deck at in the side events at GPDC, and so they took my sideboarding notes and my deck and all that stuff and went 14-2 over the course of the weekend in side events.
Whoa.
Yeah,
I think, I don't know, I mean, 4-2 is still pretty good, 14-2, and then your GP result, I mean, this seems like a real deal to me.
Yeah.
I think it's like, just by listening to you talk about it and seeing a bit of it in the stream, it looks pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it can shift with the metagame. I mean,
being in red green, you get a lot of options. For example, one of the changes that we're making is riding another Thrun to the main deck to basically counteract, like to attack a lot of the more tempo decks that are coming back into prominence because Eldrazi is about to leave. But I'm super satisfied. I just like I am 60% with it. You know, you get somebody else on it who's way better than me, and we can be like that deck is it's the real deal. It's the real deal. I'm convinced.
Love it.
Love it.
I saw Doug Potter really loves our shows. He listens to every fucking episode.
Doug Potter is like super fan. Super fan, Superman.
Yeah.
Listens from beginning to end, is sure to call me out when I got, his over and under line wrong. I thought it was zero. It was actually two, even though it didn't matter because Eldrazi's been owning everything. And he had to comment about the concession or not the concession last week. And Jerry, you were loving it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, I thought it was hilarious, too. I mean, you gotta play like some sort of block card.
It's like you're playing land destruction. Just it's like, you know what? That's a very fair comment that you just made, Doug. I love you.
I mean, it is kind of an inherently different kind of misery, right? LD decks, they just keep your hand just chock full of like cool options because you can't play them. Whereas the Lantern deck just shows you like the top of your deck. It's just like this. It's so
hopeless. I don't know. Both of those seem like impotence. Like there's something very fun that I'd like to be doing, but shit don't work.
Yeah,
that's the way that I see.
Anyway, fair point. Fair point, Doug.
Fair point. Jay, how was your weekend?
It was good. I went to the other Jeremy's wedding.
Oh, wow. The other Jeremy got married?
Yeah.
Congratulations, other Jeremy.
Right? So it was pretty fun. I didn't get to play any Magic, but we had a great time. So I got to be in the wedding, and Easy Beasy came down for the wedding. And so after the ceremony, in which I stood up there like a champion, he goes, he said, shit. I was like, hey, Brian, you look pretty good. You're in a suit. And he's like, no, I look fine. And I'm like, well, you're right, but you can't really say to someone like, yeah, you look fine, by the way. But he's like, but fuck, man, do you ever look good in a tux? And I was like, thanks. And he's like, also, how many times have you done this before? You're like a fucking professional fucking stand around guy.
What?
I was like, I don't know, what? Like twice plus my wedding, I guess. And he's like, fuck, like, if I ever get married, man, like, I'm inviting you.
You're my bro.
Like, okay, thanks, Brian. Like,
yeah. It's kind of like you would hope you'd be married, or you'd hope you'd be invited to his wedding.
Yeah, I kind of do, yeah. Yep. But, he also said that he might never get married. Who knows?
Oh. How's his video game store going?
Well, so far, so good.
That's good. If you're in the Calgary area and you need used video game things.
Yeah, like Brian is basically like a better EV Games than video game trader. So if you need anything like, you know, a Secret of Mana or a fucking N64 with GoldenEye, he'll hook you up.
Yeah, and.
But and he's getting.
He'll trade Nintendo. You Magic cards.
That's true. Yeah, you can trade Magic cards for it, which is fucking. So there you go. He's gonna get me a Super Nintendo with like Super Mario Mega Stars or whatever. It's got like all the Marios plus the secret levels plus. Wow. I didn't know that existed. Like he knows things that I didn't even know existed.
Does he know where to get a copy of Metal Marines?
He does, yep.
For a Super Nintendo?
Yeah, he probably does, yeah, for sure. The other day we plugged in regular Atari and played that. And let me tell you, every game on Atari sucks a lot. like they're fucking the like it's not nostalgia isn't always good.
No, lots of rose colored lenses out there.
Just FYI, it was like it was fucking unplayable. Like it was bad. it was bad. So speaking of things for my segue that I didn't know existed that are sweet.
Whoa, what a segue.
Is fucking, there's like a Judge Foil mana drain.
Yeah.
Who knew?
I did.
We did.
How did you guys know? How long has that been around?
A long time. Not like super long. Years,
probably.
No, within the year.
Yeah.
Within the year?
Yes.
Like it's March.
Within the last 12 months.
No. Like it's new, right?
Oh. I mean, I think it's like, well, it's like 6 months or so. It was the latest.
Yesterday, and no. Within the last 12 months is still an accurate statement.
It's the latest exemplar promo foil.
Yeah, that's. It's not even exemplar. I think it's like. I thought it was like some weird like L3 promo thing.
Yeah, I don't really know at all. But I saw it this weekend and somebody was like, hey, does anybody have one of those things? And I was like, that's not real. I'm going to go look that up. And then I looked it up and like Face2Face doesn't even have it listed on their site. Thanks, Face2Face. How am I supposed to buy shit from you if he doesn't exist? Bros?
Bros?
Bros? So, but it's like $1 billion. So.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it actually is new enough to have the new mana, the colorless mana symbol on it.
It does. It has diamond mana.
So yeah,
which means that it can't be that old because they couldn't have spoiled that like before fucking Eldrazi came around, right?
No,
correct.
But still, fucking
I agree.
Rebonkulous, and it's like $1 billion. Like,
hello.
It's infinite. Hello.
What is that?
That's the better Mexican. Woo!
I can't hear anybody.
The only Mexican, Jay.
Oh yeah.
We've had this conversation.
That's true. But he's gone now, so it's okay. You can still be my Mexican.
All right, I hear people now.
Yeah.
Oh, Jay, you could ask this, the ex-finance guru.
Hey, he still sells things. I see his Twitter.
Oh no! I've been found out.
Sorry, somebody wanted. Inquiring minds wanted to know if you're back to your wheeling and dealing weight. Because you know they saw on your Twitter that you were selling stuff, and they figured you probably rolled somebody when they pulled up to a stoplight in your neighborhood or something.
Oh man! The story behind that is. See, what had happened was.
Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, so for our new listeners, who the fuck is this
and
guy?
Matt?
our new listeners and the subpar replacement of Matt. I mean, I guess Gotti.
We've also had this discussion. I am not a replacement. You cannot replace the irreplaceable. I do not replace Medina or Scotty Mac or whoever the hell else was on the show.
You're goddamn right. You'll never replace them.
For what it's worth, like Scotty hasn't been gone as long as like some of Jay's little like adventures where he disappears. So
he could be
back.
Oh man.
So for Matt and our new listeners, this is Jonathan Medina, the one and only Jonathan Medina.
He's playing Magic again, guys.
He's back. Matt's gone.
Don't get people excited.
False hope.
Oh man. So yeah, did we already start the show? Are we rolling?
Yeah, we are rolling.
Wow, you just walked right into the show.
Yeah, JJ was wondering about the Mana Drain promo and decided to phone you in randomly in this segment.
Oh, sweet. So there's a Mana Drain promo, right? Is what you're talking?
It's like a Judge Foil man. And he has like diamond mana and shit on it.
Yeah, really? That's the colorless mana symbol because they have that colorless mana stuff. Oh, no shit. I thought we were like 6 months ago. This is actually current shit. Why are we talking about Mana Drain?
Because it's like sweet, but now there's this like fucking promo, which means that like it's worth like $1 billion. And of course,
see, Jeremy, Jay isn't on the show regularly, and like the amount of time that he wasn't on the show, like we just kind of have to catch up with, you know, we have to have like. Jay right. looks back at the time he wasn't on the A-team.
You guys definitely talked about it.
Okay, you know what? I think we might have.
No.
He doesn't listen to the show anyway, so...
I listen to the show.
Who, me? I don't. I listen to the Scotty episode. because I thought it was an excellent episode. I thought that the places that you guys went were really important places to go. And I got to say, man, when I was listening to Matt talk, when he was sharing his pain, I was like, man, like this is exactly why the gospel of Jesus is important. This is the exact reason, because all of us have this pain, okay, and some of us wear it on our sleeves like Matt was in that episode, but it's like to really understand that God actually loves you and that he values you highly, it just changes your life. It changes your perspective. So when I was hearing Matt talk about that, I'm just like, man, I just want to tell this guy, God loves you, man. He gave his son for you. Like, this is like, this is the perfect, you know what I mean? And I want to tell him that, not because I'm like trying to preach at him or whatever, but this.
Thank God we got that distinction.
No, I mean, for me, it's the truth. You know, for me, like I felt that way, you know, I felt worthless. I felt, you know, a lot of my ego, a lot of that stuff from the past, you know, that was all from pain. That was from issues of self-worth. And to get that stuff corrected by this truth that God loves me, it just adjusted my whole thinking. It adjusted my whole perspective, you know? And so, so when I tweeted at you, like, I said, man, after that episode, Matt, I just love you. I really meant it, you know, because you were vulnerable, I felt. Unless I was hearing something that, like, he wasn't really saying or something. Or...
No.
I think that's pretty fair.
You know, I mean, when I... Going, you know, thinking back of, like, how I became, like, the nerd that I am now, and, like, gaming and being around incredibly talented, educated, really open-minded people has just kind of affected how I am as a person. And, you know, not that I wasn't, you know, not that even in our little nerd conclave, we didn't have our own little hierarchy where, you know, we kind of teased each other, but like ultimately we all kind of had each other's backs. And, you know, I'm from a small town of like 13 or 14,000 people where basically if you were intelligent and kind of nerdy, you were either involved in school stuff like debate or debate forensics, math. You were a math lead or whatever, or you were like into some sort of theater. But outside of school, if you were intelligent there and like kind of cultured and kind of nerdy, there was really nothing else to do except to get in trouble. Or find your home at the local comic and game store. Mm-hmm. And like, so for me, you know, I say that I grew up in my LGS because I spent about as much time there as I did at home and at school. Like that was where I went. Like they were my family. Like they were a different kind of family. And, you know, like that sort of safe spaces, you know, people like to mock the idea of creating a safe space and like all this stuff, but like, there's just people who need that, like for whatever reason. And it's not that they're weak or that there's something wrong with them. It's just that everybody needs their own little place where they feel like they belong.
I think everyone is much weaker than they let on. You know what I mean? Like, everyone has pain. Everyone has weaknesses, and I think we've just become so good at hiding it and so concerned with like shielding it from other people, you know. And so when somebody is just honest and forward about what they're struggling with or what they're, you know, the way they feel, I think that does a couple of things. Number one, it makes some people like attracted to them or like, oh, you know, I want to meet that person where they're at. I want to join with that person, or it makes them feel threatened, you know, like, whoa, you know, is everyone okay with this? Like, are we all going to just start putting our garbage out on the table for everyone to see? 'Cause I don't want that, you know, I don't want to show that. So let's just bash this guy who's doing it and like shut him up, you know, so that I don't have to share my pain, so I don't have to go down that road, or maybe so I don't even have to look at myself in this person, you know. When you're sharing your pain or you're talking about things that hurt, you know, sometimes people can see that in themselves and they don't want to see it. They hate it. You know, mm-hmm. they hate this idea of weakness or whatever. But all of that is just, to me, it's like there are things that set us back, this idea of weakness and that we should be looked down upon if we're weak. We are weak. That's just the you put anybody in certain situations, they're not going to make it.
Yeah, we don't even have an exoskeleton. There's bugs that you can step on that don't die.
I mean, you want to see something that's not weak? Look at a rhino, you know?
Right?
Stick the armor on his body.
And it's like a big, docile giant. Like, if I was a rhino, I'd be going ham.
It's got a horn?
But Dina, more to your point, I think that, like, you're kind of touching on a little bit of why I'm a feminist and why I happily accept the label of feminist and why I think it's important. And not just because I believe that women should not be defined by these characteristics given to them by people who want to create this idea of what a woman is or is not. I'm a feminist because I believe that men should not be defined by what other people say men should be. Like, what you're describing is like the idea of like years and years of like being told that men should be tough. They need to be
masculine training,
they can't,
so to speak.
They can't be vulnerable. They can't express their feelings. They can't be emotional with other people. They can't be affectionate. And it's, you know, like that's holding us back from being the people who we really want to be. And so this idea of like, you know, this idea of like being able to be truly free is very like at my core of like allowing people to be however they want.
We gotta be like that. We gotta be free, and we gotta be free for us and for other people. And that's why, you know, that's why this whole idea of the gospel or this whole idea of God loving you changes me. And that's the axis I operate on. I'm free because I'm not dependent on you to give me something. You know, I don't need a validation and love from you. My identity is not rooted in what I get from you. You know, back in the day when I was on Twitter and stuff, and I was like trying to soak in all of this, you know, all of this just energy from people, you know, oh yeah, more Medina this, Medina that, you know, I needed that to feel validated, you know, and that made me not free. It made me not free to be who I am, to just be vulnerable, to put things out there. But in this love that I've found, this love of God, it's made me free because my identity is rooted in that. That doesn't change. It's like bulletproof. It's indestructible. It's an indestructible love. And as long as I hold on to that, as long as I see myself in that or find myself in that, I'm free. I'm free to tell you who I am. You know, I'm free to talk about things like this because, you know, your opinion of me doesn't define me. I don't need your energy, you know? Mm. What do you think about that?
I think, you know, and like, before we even get even deeper into this, Medina, as religious and as spiritual as you are, I am the opposite in the opposite direction.
Like, and that's okay.
I believe that I'm not atheist. I just don't believe that there has ever, like, atheist is like this whole statement of like of non-belief. There mm-hmm. just isn't anything. Like, I believe the concept of God and religion and spirituality, they're all these ideas that humans have made up mm-hmm. to solve whatever problems that they needed to solve.
Yeah.
Like, I believe it's just like a function of evolution, basically.
Yeah, so, it's a common view. I mean, among humanists or you know, agnostics or this kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah,
I know that you don't humanist. Put like a title. Yeah, you're a humanist, right? Yeah. So that's common. I don't mean to put it down. I'm not trying to put it down and say, oh, that's common. I'm just saying, yeah, I understand that. That's very. I've heard that a lot. Let's just put it that way.
No. That's yeah. fine. You know, it's actually really funny because like I'm a humanist. But my fiance is a Christian and she's very involved with her church. So I'm actually like in church three to four Sundays a month.
So you basically heard what I have to say a lot.
Yeah. So, but would you say that, like, when you kind of rediscovered your faith, would you say that it was more, because you talk about how, like, you basically took, you realized you didn't need this validation from the magic community, to be more specific to your situation.
Sure.
But you say you kind of replaced it with the validation you received from God or from the scripture. Would you say that this, like, would you say that, like, your experience is more intrinsic or extrinsic? Like, do you, my question is very vague, but it's also very specific, and I'm having trouble articulating it.
I'm trying to process it myself, the question.
I'm trying to find the difference between intrinsic and extrinsic, so...
Well, intrinsic is like coming from inside, and extrinsic is coming from, like, external.
He's basically asking, is it really God, or is it me creating this?
Correct.
Right?
And like, obviously, like, I know you believe that it's God. Like, what made you kind of think that?
What made me think that is, it's not something that I could come up with on my own. And people will say, well, you know, you don't give yourself no credit. Maybe you're super smart, you know? Maybe subconsciously, you know, you've constructed these ideas, and they manifested themselves in a time of crisis. Maybe.
This person talks like Jay.
I feel like maybe.
And what am I supposed to say to that? You know?
Say, like, bitch?
Stop talking like Jay.
You know, it's like the best that, okay, I'm a reasonable human being. I mean, the people who've listened to the show before, okay, maybe that's not a good example. Let's not reference my old self, you know, but what I really do want to say is I am reasonable, and I've read the Bible for years. Okay, people who listened to the show before knew that I used to spout, you know, Christian, you know, views and worldviews all the time, you know, but the question for me would be like, well, why didn't this change happen before? All of this stuff was there, right? I didn't get any new information when this crisis occurred, right? I had been in situations before, you know. I had been addicted to pornography, which is in itself like a mini crisis of the faith. Like, if you're a Christian and you're addicted to pornography, that's incompatible, right? It's incompatible with values of the kingdom. It shows that you don't find your total satisfaction in Christ. It's just an issue. So that issue was long before this other crisis, right? Why didn't, when that issue started to manifest itself in an ugly way, why at that time did I not, like, all of a sudden just think all these constructs up? This is stuff that my whole view on God changed. And so, like, how did I change my own view when I was set in my way? Like, to me, that doesn't make any sense. The only way I can describe it is that it was external. That God showed me his love through the situation with my wife. He decimated the inside of my heart and just, you know, it hasn't even been fully put back together again. I mean, there's times when I'm, like, thinking about this stuff in the car and I just cry out of gratitude and out of this. And I'm not, that's not, like, the kind of person that I am, you know? It's like, where is this stuff coming from? To me, it's coming from God. And like I said, yeah, you can explain it any way you want. You know, there's a bunch of ways you can do it. There's psychological things that you can, there's books that will tell you psychological reasons for, you know, spontaneous, like, emotion or crying or this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, I know it's God. And the more I read the scripture, the more that is a consistent reality to me. The more that stuff is validated to me. And so that's my answer.
I'm sorry, so that's extrinsic?
Yeah, it's external to me.
Oh, okay. I didn't really know that word.
Yeah, it's outside of myself, so, you know, it's not me making it up, in my opinion.
Right. But, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Medina. We're like we've got like an electrician and then a guy who picks things up and puts things down and then KYT. So,
right.
I had to work those words out in my own mind as well, because for a minute I'm like, intrinsic, extrinsic. Like I knew what intrinsic kind of meant, and I'm like, okay, let's work this out. What is he asking? And so it took me a minute to get there too. So,
my question was definitely garbage. Asked at least.
Yep.
At least it was not clear.
Absolute trash.
I kind of would also kind of delve into, like, you've been on the show off, you know, away from Magic for a while. What did gaming and Magic have anything to do with any of, like, the situation that you went through? You know, I understand that, like, there are addictions and things like that, but somebody could very easily say, like, yeah, it was all you. Like, what does gaming have anything to do with this?
So that's a good question. It's all kind of mixed together. You know, we're talking about, like, this whole situation was like a big plate of spaghetti, you know? I don't blame Magic for what happened. And just for people who don't know what happened, I mean, new listeners, I'm sure there's tons of people who have no idea who I am or what the heck I'm talking about. At one point in time, I was a growing voice in the Magic community. I owned a business. You know, we were selling singles. It was called legitmtg.com. It's still called that, but I don't own it anymore. And somewhere in the rise of all that, in the growing of the business, I cheated on my wife. And that really just kind of shook my world. And at that point, I quit the game, sold the business, and just left. And so that's where we're at now. Well, we're 3 years after that, about.
Yeah.
God damn it, that was 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah, it's almost 3 years ago now.
3 years?
Almost, Jesus. Yeah.
Holy jeez.
Yeah, so I don't blame Magic for that, you know? Magic, like I said, I was I had issues anyways. Like, it didn't have to be Magic that was feeding these insecurity issues. It could have been something else, you know. It was other things too, you know. And all I knew is that I wanted to surrender my whole life to God. Like I didn't want to hold anything back. I wanted to put everything on the table. He could rearrange it however he wanted, you know. And for me, I didn't see a way to keep playing Magic and be able to focus. Or keep having a business and be able to focus on hearing from God and, like, you know, being the husband I really had the new opportunity to be. You know, I couldn't see that being compatible. And I think that a lot of people struggle with that anyways. Like, intrinsically, there's that word again. Intrinsically, that's what we're talking about here with these things. When you were talking about Magic getting its hooks in you last episode, or Scotty's talking about, you know, Magic just taking over my life, you know, this game has a propensity to do that. And it's not the fault of the game. It's our own brokenness that is basically processing this game as a way to mine out all these goods that we're trying to get, whether it be accolades because of skill or intelligence, or whether it be, you know, the mini popularity stuff going on, or just like you said, a safe spot, somewhere where you feel like you fit in, somewhere where you don't feel like complete like insignificant or a stranger. You know, we're mining all this out of this game, and the game is so vast, the community is so deep, that it makes a really good place for that, which is sometimes not really good.
Okay.
Is that satisfactory, or what do you think?
Yeah, no, that's exactly where I was going to go with it, is that, you know, we've been talking all about, like, last episode, you know, we talked a lot about the safe space, or not last episode, we talked a lot about shit stories and pooping and my teeth and shit like that. Last episode was right back in the gutter, but the episode before that,
yeah,
we kind of got into, like, the whole safe space discussion, but I thought a very important part that I think is shown example in your story was kind of the other aspect of what we talked about, which was obligations to the game and obligations to the community and these obligations that we feel. And, you know, it's the way that you talk about how, you know, you don't need to have that. You don't need that input from others. You don't need that validation from others. And that validation, in order to maintain that validation that you get from others, you have to be so committed to the game. You have to be committed to your Twitter. You can't have people liking your tweets if you're not tweeting. You know, you can't have people perpetuating your message if you're not putting your message out there.
Kind of like God.
Correct. Right? Well, yeah, I mean, God has chosen, for sure, God has chosen to reveal himself through people. And
yeah,
the Bible says we're his hands and his feet. So, yeah, he's perpetuating his message through us. You know, we got to get it out there, man.
How awesome does it feel to be God's Twitter? I'm not even making fun of you. That's just an awesome.
No, it can be awesome, like, but it can be really scary, though, you know? Because, like, we all, like I said, we're all broken, right? We all miss the mark. We all do things that are not bringing glory to God's name. And so if you're God's Twitter and then you tweet something that's not good, then right. It's like, oh, you're not doing God's job here, man. You're you know, yeah, that's definitely against the kingdom rules there, I guess. But I guess the other thing I want to say is just in the terms of what we're talking about, you know, this is not only magic. This happens in the church too. You know, people, you know, form their identities on church traditions, and it just really gets in the way of them actually loving Jesus. You know, they're at church just to get this validation, the pat on the back. You're a good spiritual person, blah, blah, blah. But they're not there to meet Christ. They're not there to worship him. Like, you know, I'm not saying that about everyone at church, but there are people like that at church. And when I say that, I don't say it in a mean way, like, oh, that person, I can't believe it. I say it like, oh, man. That person is missing out. You know, this is the wrong thing to use as you're trading in for a substitute, something really cheap, something that's not full. You know, and the same thing with magic. When we go to magic or gaming for that satisfaction, that fulfillment, or whatever we're trying to mine, when we do that, we're settling. We're not getting the good stuff. And the good stuff is found in God. It's not found in this other stuff. But that doesn't mean that we can't enjoy a game of magic or a game of Ascension or a game of Hearthstone. It doesn't mean we can't enjoy that. I think for me, like, the way that I look at that stuff now is like, okay, everything good in life points to God. Everything good is a pointer. It describes who God is. And so when I have something good, you know, when I share time with my wife, when I watch my daughter run through the grass or whatever, those good things, you know, they point me to God. They say, man, God is a good God. Look what he's given. Silence.
Yeah.
Silence.
Bam.
I didn't realize it was going to be this kind of show.
I didn't even know what kind of show it was going to be. Like, I came on and I you guys have been going, right? There was a whole right. show before me.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so they got their magic. They're fine.
Did we even talk about magic?
We did a little bit, yeah.
We talked about Mana Dream. We talked about like 6 month old magic.
No, we talked about my tournament.
That's Land D deck, man.
Yeah, my 84 more viewers than Jay ever had. So
validation through magic.
There's that validation, man, right there. It's a drug, man.
So while we were actually recording this section, somebody, I actually got a new Twitter notification from Manuel Ortiz. He's like, I love your deck, man.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
You're like
let me tie the rubber band on real quick.
So you're gonna like it, you're gonna retweet it, right? You gotta get that.
Hell yeah.
You
need that more than you know, buddy.
You don't, John, need it. Seeing, you don't need
I've
it.
I've seen this tweet of yours, of you reading the Bible before the show, before podcasting. So someone, Jeremy Sarber, replied. It's like, you podcast? What is it called? I don't think he wants to listen to this shit.
He's a pastor, man. He's a pastor. So I'm gonna let him know. I'll send him the episode after. Yeah, that's just the kind of stuff I like to talk about. You know, I'm sorry, guys. I'm not sorry. That was
sorry, not sorry. Hashtag.
what I, you know, I don't want to, I don't want to put anyone out, but you know what? I don't think this puts anyone out because I think that people are interested in hearing this kind of stuff. You know, this is real talk, you know, in my opinion.
So 3 years later, where are you at now that, you know, you now, how is you now different from you, like, as you were leaving the A-Team and Magic community and doing all this stuff, like transitioning, like how is this last two and a half, two and three quarters years affected you?
I can be very self-critical, so I'm not sure. I'm not even sure how to answer this. I guess the best way to answer this is that the only difference is that I feel like God left a mark on me that I can't shake. I can't see things the same anymore. I can't, I don't want the same things that I did want. I'm just not driven by the same things that I used to be driven by. That's the best way I can describe it. Is this, he left a mark on me and I'm not the same. I can't be that other person, even if I wanted to. And that's just, how would that, like, I don't know. Well, I think some people will see, like, okay, so 3 years ago that happened. Some people see little, like, blips from me. Like, sometimes I'm selling Magic cards, you know? I'll put on Twitter, like, oh, I got these cards I'm selling. Or, like, the other day I posted about Hearthstone, you know? I was playing the Tavern Brawl, and I got Legend, so I wanted to post that, you know? and there it is. There it is. No. Come on. Would I be truthful if I said I didn't post that I got Legend for validation?
No, you wouldn't be truthful.
It's for validation, man.
I love it.
It's obviously for validation. But but that's what I'm talking about with this brokenness, you know, these vulnerabilities, you know? So, and then that's why I didn't say when you said, what has changed from 3 years ago? That's why I didn't say, well, I'm completely secure in myself. You know, all I said is that God left this mark, man. I feel it. And when I exist in that love of God, when I'm grounded in that identity, I don't need that validation. But when I get away from that identity, when I start to value other things, like when I start to value validation, or when I start to just, I guess, live in the everyday, it gets easy to kind of latch onto those old, like, safety rafts, right? It gets easy to kind of reach for old habits and old thinking. And so as a person now, I don't like those thinkings. I don't like that about me. I don't embrace it. I don't feed it. That would be the difference, I guess.
Okay.
But I do still I still do like gaming. I like that. Shortly after I left Magic, Meredith and I went to Gen Con together. You know, we were playing tons of board games like Catan, and I think Jay hates Catan, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had one bad experience, so he just hates Catan.
There is Star Trek Catan. I don't know if that, like, piques your interest or not, man.
No.
No, okay. So anyways.
I kind of want to know, how has your relationship with gaming changed over the last 3 years?
There's a big difference there. Gaming is it's a luxury. It's not something that I need in my life, but it is something that I enjoy, and it is something I have to keep in check, I feel, still, just because I'm nervous, man. I'm nervous. I enjoy gaming a lot. You know, for a short time, I played some retro video games, like maybe last year or something like that, and I was getting into that, man, playing Mega Man from back in the day, you know. You know, when I started playing Hearthstone, I started playing that pretty hardcore for a minute. You know, there were times where I played EDH and Magic for like a short while, and I had to just get rid of the decks because it's like, it's very dangerous to not necessarily to find validation anymore, because no one really is validating me through it, but it's dangerous to just suck up my time in my mind. And you know, one of the biggest things that I'm trying to live out right now is the scriptures say to love the Lord your God with all your heart, which is sometimes easier than this next part, and with all your mind. And for me, my mind is important to me. Like, you know, any gamer, ask any gamer, and they kind of pride themselves on the particulars of their mind, right? They think that they're smart. You know, you play a game, a strategy game, because you think you can out-strategy the other guy. You can outplay him. You can know the game better. You can know your deck better. You can, you know, so I still have all that. You know, my mind is something that I value. And so that's an area where I feel like, man, I haven't given my mind up to the Lord completely. Like, I haven't like fully loved God with my whole mind. Instead, I use my mind for other things, you know, like gaming sometimes. And so I have to keep that in check. So my relationship with gaming, I'd say, is much different than it was. I understand kind of more so like my tendencies, and I understand my goals. Like, my goal in gaming is for downtime. It's not for all-encompassing, you know, life enjoyment, you know, like it used to be. Does that make sense?
No,
yeah,
we talked about that
on the last show. That makes sense. Like, when I said, like, a big reason that I don't play Magic really anymore is because I didn't enjoy it. It's not that, like, I, you know, it's not that I wasn't good, or it's not that I didn't like a format, or it's not that X or Y. It was just, I just didn't enjoy playing Magic anymore. I didn't enjoy spending the time to do X, to go to tournaments, to pore over deck lists, to read the, you know, latest articles and figure out the sideboard tech of this. And, like, that just got really, tedious and really tiring. And so, like, for me, gaming is purely from a downtime relaxation thing for me. I've gone from both kind of ends, similar to, like, I guess what you're describing, John, is just, like, I've gone from being, you know, in too deep to now just only wanting to play it purely to relax.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know? That's totally, like, and sometimes, like, when you're away from the game for a long time, you still kind of get that, like, huh, I'd like to play, like, man, I used to like to play Splinter Twin. I'd love to play that deck again, you know? Like, stuff like that. And the other day, I was, like, thinking like that. I was like, man, Splinter Twin, actually, which I found out was banned. So, which is funny, but, you know, like, I was thinking about Splinter Twin, and at the same time, it occurred to me, hey, I have a bunch of Magic Online cards. Like, I just had, like, four of a bunch of common uncommons. And I didn't trade them in when I got out because they weren't worth anything. So I'm like, I wonder if they're worth anything. And I went in there, and, like, there was a whole bunch of common cards and uncommon cards that were worth, like, a bunch of tickets. Like, mm-hmm. Days was worth, like, 20 tickets each or 25 tickets each. Wow. So I was like, wow, I have 100 tickets. And then I'm like, oh, you know, Firebolt is worth, like, 5 tickets each. Oh, okay, that's 20. That's 120 tickets. I'm like, man, I could build a deck. You know? And so I'm like, I'm going to build a deck. So I built a deck and I played it for, I don't know, a couple days, 3 days in standard. And I'm like, this standard is just terrible. I hate this.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm going to try modern. So I sold at a 10% loss, obviously sold all my stuff, and then, and bought into a modern deck, which I don't have all the cards for because, you know, I'm not going to put any money into it. But I had enough cards to pull off a modern deck. Tried that. Oh man, this is just terrible. Like, I'm not having fun at all. And then I'm just like, I'm going back to Hearthstone. This is like, you know, it's just not fun for me. Like Jay said, I found myself wanting to look at deck lists, but not wanting to look at deck lists.
Yeah, like I do that all the time. People will say, like, you're on a Magic podcast. Shouldn't you know stuff about Magic? And it's like, yeah, like, to be fair, and I mean, especially like, not only him.
Yes, Jay, fair, that is, like, a very valid criticism.
You know, but, like, if I guess for, like, the fans, I should probably maybe be more interested. But you know what? I have a lot of fans, and they obviously don't give a shit.
What the fuck?
First and foremost, they obviously don't care how much Magic knowledge I have because they are still my fans. But I mean, mainly, but things like fucking, like, I don't enjoy it. So it's like that. It's like, oh, Jay, are you going to play fucking this modern PTG? And it's like, no, I don't have a deck. I'm like, okay, well, I'll get you a deck. And like, well, I don't really... Fine. All right, I guess I'll play. Fine. You'll pay for my entry, and I'll have a fun day of playing Magic with you, and I'll see what all this fucking stupid modern shit's about, and then we'll play. And then it's just like, I have no fun at all. And then I'm like trying to figure out sideboards, and I haven't played like modern ever, so I don't know how to sideboard. So am I having fun? No. And then, you know, I want to look at deck lists, and I pull up a deck list, and then I'm like, I'm just like, oh, like, I'm so bored. I don't even want to look at this. Like, what's
exactly?
The,
you just don't want to be
like
there.
Sounds like a self-inflicted wound, though. Like, the same.
Right. Role. That's what I mean, yeah, but it's yeah. Like, so, you know, and people do that all the time with me with other games too. Like, I play Dota a lot. I'm playing Dota right now. And I play Dota just constantly. I've been playing Dota for like fucking
years.
12 years. Yeah. And people are always like, why don't you play LOL? Why don't you play this? Why don't you play that? Why don't you? And I'm just like, I don't have time or patience or desire to play and like to learn another game. It's not, I don't have the time and it's not fun. Like, if the game took 5 minutes to learn, like, say, Shadows over Mordor, which, you know, I picked up for $15 in the Walmart bin kind of thing, and it was a great game, and I played it and had fun, and it was fun. Great. You know, but, I mean, it's like, I don't have time to learn a brand new game. I don't have time to figure out all the strategy of how to be the best Catanner of all Catans. Like, you know?
It's called roll the dice.
It's not fun.
You just
fun.
Don't want to be there. You just don't, yeah. And that's what I find myself is just feeling like. And when I'm there, I'm not gonna pursue it. You know, it's like, man, this is just not. This is designed for fun, and this is not fun for me. And yeah. Anything that's gonna stress me out about like, oh, I got to figure out a tech card, or I gotta. To me, it's like, dude, I can't. That cancel all that noise, man. Like, yeah. I don't have time in my life for that. You know,
a lot of people fall into that. Sorry to cut off whoever was talking. But a lot of people fall into that where they do something because they have always done it. So, you know, it's like, I think I talked about this in the last episode where we got deep as well, but it's things like, you know, you play hockey because your parents put you in hockey when you were little, and you don't really like hockey anymore and you're like 30, let's say, or whatever. And you don't really like hockey anymore, but you still play it because, like, you just, that's just what you do. You're a hockey player. You play hockey, and you're the guy that has all the equipment. You're the guy that can organize. You're the guy that, you know, knows everybody on the list. So if somebody says, hey, man, we need, like, two skaters for tonight, you're the guy. You're always there. You can provide it. But you just hate playing it. You're just over it. You're not having any fun. You're super hyper competitive, so you know you're always stressed out, and if you're not winning, then you're screaming at your teammate, just blah and all, just blah 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 blah. But it's like, it takes like, sometimes it takes like some serious introspection to figure out that you don't like doing that anymore, right? And not everybody can just kind of, people always say that, right? Like when you were talking earlier, it's like, well, hey, why didn't you just change earlier, John? If you didn't like it, why didn't you just change earlier? And sometimes sometimes you'll find it through God. Sometimes you'll find it through whatever other like method. But it's like, you know, it's not as easy as just changing, unfortunately, which is, you know, also one of the reasons why, like, when someone's being a piece of shit at, like, say, an FNM, you can't just, like, scream that person into agreeing with you. You can't win your, I mean, unless you're Donald Trump, you can't really win your argument that way. So, you know, so, and that's a big issue for a lot of people. Like, it took me a very long time to realize that I didn't like spending thousands of dollars on F&M decks to go to F&M every night and sit there and be bored with a bunch of sweaty rhinos paying money to sit in like a cooped up dank building and play Magic people I didn't know and that I didn't like.
I think you're missing the important part that the rhinos have horns.
Yes.
And body armor.
And body armor.
They have body armor?
they're like, I'm sure there's like a fucking cartoon that has badass rhinos in it.
John, I kind of wanted to press into this idea of giving your mind to God, like this concept that you're talking about.
Yeah.
What do you consider giving your mind to God? Like, what is a day for you? Just an average day. I mean, because it sounds like what you're describing is that like anybody who is a professional at something or considered a professional at something who thinks about it as deeply as they should as a professional, you're kind of saying that is in contradiction to this idea of like having a mind for God. Like,
oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way. If that's how it came off.
No, I don't think that you meant it that way. I just want to kind of have this conversation and kind of elaborate, kind of, because I mean, one could also argue that like playing and thinking about like games and like these things that you can argue humans created through, mm-hmm. you know, God allowed them to create games
through ingenuity
So why keep yourself from that, from enjoying God's creations in that way? I mean, that is one very real argument, that I am enjoying God's creations by thinking a lot about this game and this, or this thing, like anything, like music or film or whatever.
Yeah, I totally see where you're going with this. And it's an excellent question. First of all, I don't think we should do what a lot of people do, and they sometimes like give gaming like the lower class classification, right? It's like, oh, you know, you're into gaming, that's kind of dumb. Well, I'm into reading books, you know, that's better. Or
sports,
I'm into
or whatever.
Snowboarding, or, you know, which all takes like mastery, right? You know, like, mm-hmm. you know, reading and getting stuff out of these books, that takes mastery. Snowboarding takes mastery. And, you know, there's something intrinsic, there's that word again. There's something intrinsic in us. There's something that God put in us to make us want to master things, to make us want to enjoy things. That's from God. It's not a bad thing. So what I would say is, in the sense that, like at my job, right? I'm a computer, guy. I work on messaging systems, email systems. Okay. It's a good thing for me to know my job well. It's a good thing for me to understand messaging systems and how TCP/IP works and all of these different important facets of the job. And I think actually God wants me to do that, right? And because God wants me to do that, I do it to His glory. I do it for Him. I try to do it that way. You know, that's the idea.
I will fix this email because God has deemed that I should do this. Not making fun of you. I'm not trying to make fun. I'm just like this comical, like my absurdist comedy brain just kind of goes, I am divinely, like this is a mission. We're on a mission from God, you know, Blues Brothers. I'm on a mission from God to fix this email system.
I could totally see where you're coming. It could sound funny, but like the way I think of it is this. Okay, if I go into work and I do my job well, then the people who I work with are going to have an easier time doing their job well, right? Nobody wants to work with the guy who's making everyone else's job hard, right? And so this brings glory to God. As weird as it sounds, like these people, if they know that I'm about God, right, then and I'm being lazy and I'm not doing my job, or, you know, I didn't learn the thing I needed to learn, so now we can't do this migration. Whoops. Like, if I'm doing that, then what kind of, like, opinion is that going to give them of, you know, it just gives them a bad opinion of me, and I think that could even give a little bit of a bad opinion of God. You know, we have that in Christianity all the time. It's like, people, they don't live in a way like God is real. You know, and they say, oh, I'm a Christian, but, you know, they don't live like He's real, or like they believe Him for what He says. And when you do that, it just makes people say God's not real, because they look at someone's life and they say, this guy says he believes in God, but why does he live like this? That doesn't make any sense. This guy says he believes in God, but why is he always late to work? And why does he never do his job on time? Or why was he really a jerk to that consultant? Like, that's not a Christian way to be. And it's the truth. It's not. So, you know, when you think of it just like in the everyday sense, it's not as super spiritual, right? It's just like, man, I want to be a help to the people around me. I want to be a resource to them. And I want them to feel like, man, like, if Jonathan's on my team, we can get this done and we can do it well. And to me, I think that glorifies God. I think God is happy with that. He's like, well done. When you start talking about gaming, to me, like, my normal day is like that, right? I'll wake up, and if the kitchen's a mess, well, typically I clean the kitchen at night for Meredith, because when Meredith wakes up, she's staying home with Maya, and I don't want her to come down to a messy kitchen, you know? So my mind already starts, like, in the nighttime before I go to bed. Probably when I get off this podcast, I'm going to go check the kitchen, you know? I'm already thinking about, okay, what is going to help these people in my life to see the reality of God? What's going to help my wife know that I love her? What's going to help these people at my work know that I love them? I want the best for them. I'm on their team, you know? Like, so that's what I mean by using my mind. So, like, let's say instead of using my mind to, like, think about this stuff at work, or think about this stuff for my wife, I use it instead to brew a deck. Okay, for me, that's not okay. It's not okay because it's what I talked about before. It's trading something more valuable, more fulfilling for something less valuable. Even if I figure the deck out, I don't get the full value of life. I don't get to bless people. I don't get to, you know, make someone's day go better. So to me, when I say loving God with my whole mind, what I mean by that is you love God by loving other people. There's not a disconnect there. God prescribes that you want to love me, then love your neighbor, you know, then love your wife, then love your coworkers, then love your podcast mates or the people listening. Love those people and choose.
Jeez, that is a lofty mission, man.
You don't think it's doable, or
loving our fellow podcasters? I don't know.
Oh, the podcasters, you mean? I thought you meant the whole idea.
No. I feel like, so what you're kind of getting at is so there's a podcast I listen to called Question of the Day. One of the co-hosts, James Altucher, one of his mantras for life, and I don't believe he's religious or spiritual in any way, but he believes that every day he asks himself the question, did I help someone? And his answer, like, he tries to live his life in a way that every day he can say yes. Now, kind of going back to, like, when you talk about, like, when your mind, you know, when you brew this deck and stuff, what if you took that extra step to share it with others? Like, how would you rationalize that? Would you consider that as a form of, like, for you personally, a form of, like, having a mind for God? Like,
Or is it just because
you don't see gaming as that for you?
I think this is a very, like, individualized question for me. There's some people who are game designers who need to be thinking about this stuff. Like, if there's a Christian game designer, you know, playing games is part of his job, you know? He's bringing glory to God by designing a game well and making his workplace, that, you know, livable, these kind of things. So, like, I'm not talking about everyone. I'm talking about for me personally, if there's something else that I can do that is more, okay, there's basically two modes. If there's something else that I can do that is going to bring more glory to God, I should do that. Okay. Because it's more fulfilling. It's better. I should just do the better thing for everyone's sake, for my sake, I still game. So, like, the question's got to be like, well, why do you still game then? If you have such this view. For me, it's like, okay, if I'm tired, you can imagine that this gets exhausting sometimes, you know, like always trying to catch somebody or always trying to help somebody. That's sometimes exhausting, and God knows that. God wants us to rest. I mean, that's why we sleep for a third of our lives. You know, we all need rest. We all need downtime. And for me, that's how my hope is that I use gaming and other hobby-like things as a way of unwinding, as a way to get downtime, to rest my mind, to just get some refreshment, some refuel, and then to go back out and continue to work. So resting, sleeping, leisure, those things are important so that you can continue to use your mind in that way, to love God with your whole mind, with your whole heart. You need that downtime. You need rest to do it well. And that's how I try to use gaming from time to time to get that rest, to get that downtime.
Okay.
For me, like I said, but there's game designers, there's people who are professional streamers, you know, they gotta be thinking about that stuff because, you know, that's how they do their job well. And so for them, like, and I know there's a lot of gamers out there. I don't want them hearing me say, God doesn't want you to game. Okay. That's definitely not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God is changing my perspective, me personally, on what I should be doing with my time. And it's just, it feels like there's like a contradiction sometimes for me because I do want a game, but then there's this contradiction because I look and I say, this other thing is so much better and I know it. I should do it. I should do this other thing. And, and then I think this is a really weird time in my life where I'm kind of just growing in this. And I think the time will come where other things will enter my life that are just super important that I'm going to clearly know. Like when there's something to do with like my daughter or something to do with Meredith, those are just clear indicators to me that, you know, it's not time for gaming, you know? But it's really that gray area that the little bit of time, like, you know, in the evening, you know, when everyone goes to bed or whatever, what should I do with that time? You know, how should I spend it? And, but I'm planning to do things, you know, like I'm planning to help people more. And so when I start helping people more, that will just naturally take all this other extra time spot, you know?
Yeah. I'm just kind of tickled that we have a soundbite of you saying, God doesn't want you to game. I'm excited about that.
Oh, come on, man. I just want to stay away from this kind of rules mentality. You know what I mean? Where like there's all these rules and people get so much of that in Christianity where it's like, look, here's the rules. And if you don't follow the rules, you're going to hell. And that's not the message of God at all. To me, it's like the things that God asks of us are important things because they preserve us, because they give us life. It's full. So those are the kind of things you want to do. You should want to do those things. If you don't want to do them, then you just really need to think about like your choice of religion or your position. Like if you really believe God, if you really believe he exists, you know, because, and I'm mostly talking to people who believe and then like put up all these rules for themselves. Because I don't want to perpetuate this rules mentality where, you know, it's all about rules, because I think in the end of the day, what happens is it becomes about the rules and not about actually God. So people are just trying to do everything they're supposed to do, quote unquote, and they just never meet God. You know, and it's like, then they never understand him. They don't understand what the rules are there for, the quote unquote rules. You know, they don't understand why God said to do something, you know, and then it just causes all kinds of pain because they don't want to be here. They don't want to be worshiping God. They don't want to, but they do it, like Jay said, because, you know, their parents did it. And, you know, I'm a Christian because my dad was a Christian, or, you know, and just don't do that, man. Like, you know, shed that stuff, man. It's poison, you know. And I'm also not trying to say that there isn't things that God asks you to do, but if you're not in a position to do them happily, then you should do some introspection, I think.
Okay. Okay. So what I'm kind of hearing is two sort of ways to live one's life. Where like one is the idea that we can't always be on and that we need leisure time and that we need leisure activities and we need to recharge. And the other one is that like this idea of, or maybe it's not necessarily like two ways to live one's life, but like two concepts of living, of like constant presence. Uh-huh. Like trying to be consistently present in one's activities. And what I'm getting from you is kind of like this idea that like do you, in your own words, you say, like, if you don't want to be doing something, you, but you're also, you're still doing it, you should, like, examine why you're doing it.
Yes.
And so for you, like, you not thinking deeply about gaming kind of flies in the face of this whole idea of, like, are you saying that for you, it's leisure time? So, like, gaming for you is something you want to do for leisure so that you can recharge and move on to doing something more, like, more fulfilling? Or because it sounds like gaming is something that you want to do, and the idea of, like, not allowing yourself to be present or to really give it the thought and mental juice mm-hmm. that is needed to extract a lot of joy from it seems to, like, that seems to be contradictory. It seems like you're basically not fully appreciating the gift of the gift of that God has given you by being able to game, being able to do this thing that is mentally taxing and mentally challenging. Do you understand my question?
Yeah, I understand. You're saying that there's some inconsistency, it seems, in the way that that I live, in the sense that I want to game, but the idea of gaming kind of turns me, the idea of, like, what is all involved in gaming kind of turns me off to it, so to speak.
And correct. So it's kind, like, of like a binary position where you believe yeah. that, like, what I'm kind of, like, getting from you is that there's, like, this idea of, like, if your mind is not on God, it is on God, and gaming for you is time when your mind should not be on God, where you want, like, but you're recharging, and, like, I'm just trying to, like, understand everything
yeah.
more.
Yeah, there's two things I'll say about that. Number one, there is people are not binary, you know. There's things you want, and then there's things you want more, you know. It's just yeah. like it's not something I want versus something I don't want, you know. That's an easy decision, right? A lot of life is trying to decide between the multiple things you want, right? And what priority should those things take, you know? So that's the first thing I'll say, is that there's layers here, you know. I do want the game. There is a piece of me that enjoys that, for sure. But there's this other piece of me, like I said, this, like, I feel like I've been marked in a way where it's like, I don't want to do that as much as I want to do these other things. I don't want to do that as much. And so I feel this conflict sometimes. And that's the second point I'll make, is that you're not talking to somebody who has everything all figured out, you know, like, if I had, like, written a PhD or a doctorate on this, you know, and I had a PhD in it, then maybe you could expect, like, a definitive answer from me, like, oh, well, you know, this is the way it is, you know.
Why the hell did we have you back on the cast, then?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking to a guy who's just trying to figure all this stuff out, you know. It's just like, man, you know, the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. I want to do that. How do I do it? What areas of my life am I maybe not doing that? That's just the simple question that I ask myself. And then I say, huh, maybe this gaming area is a way. But maybe, like, I might find out later that maybe it wasn't actually an area that I needed to be concerned about. Or maybe I'll grow into, like, not being interested in it at all. Or, you know, maybe I'll become a professional streamer and then it'll be my job. And, you know, I need to do it. Like, you know, we don't know what's happening here. I'm in the middle of figuring all this stuff out. All I know is that I won't trade God or the, you know, the, I won't trade the riches of God or the things that he wants for me for gaming. I won't do it. So if I find that I'm doing that, I need to stop, because I know that that's not going to end well for me.
What were the moments for you?
Oh, sorry about that.
What were the moments for you when you realized you were making that trade? Like, previous to your leaving and all of this, like, what, I asked Scotty this of, like, what was the moment? Like, did you have a moment that you made you realize that?
It wasn't until after I left that I really understood God in the way that I do. So, like, when I was playing games, I just never really had those moments where I felt like, oh, I'm trading gaming, you know, I'm trading my I'm trading all this stuff that God wants for me for gaming. Like, I wasn't even thinking that. There were moments where I was thinking, like, man, I'm trading time with Meredith to play in this PTQ or to go to Canada or, you know, whatever I did. There were times like that, and there were countless. I mean, you know, every week there was something I was doing, man, buying a collection or, you know, just staying out till 5 a.m. at Steak and Shake playing EDH. Like, just every week I was making that trade, you know, and that was clear to me. But as far as like what God has for me, like, I didn't even think in those terms until after. And like, if I can just give an overall view here, for me, one of the passages that really like kind of changed my perspective or kind of got me to see God in a different way, I'm not going to quote the whole thing, but it's this idea. It says, my people have committed two evils. They've traded God for cisterns, broken cisterns. They traded God, the fountain of living water, for broken cisterns that hold no water. And a cistern is a well. It's basically how in the old days people got water. And it's this idea that, you know, here's this stream of living water, and these people, they don't want to be bothered with it. What they want is they want these wells that they dug that they can't even hold water. They're broken, right? And so, like, this idea was, like, really formative in my thinking. It's like, what in my life is a broken cistern? What in my life is not holding water that I'm trading, you know, this fountain of life, these things that God has, for this other thing that I think is more valuable? And so it's just about adjusting values in your own mind and saying, like, where's this inconsistency at? Does that add a light to it?
Yeah.
And so what you're seeing is this struggle in my life about, like, okay, where does gaming fit in this, you know? And, you know, there's times in my life where I just said, you know, in this last 3 years, there's times where I said, you know, I'm not even going to ask the question. It's not even worth it to even ask the question. Like, I'm just going to just cut it all out, you know? And then there's times where I'm just like, well, I don't know if that really makes sense, you know? So that's where we're at.
And Scotty mentioned, like, how he kind of reached out for you for help. And especially, like, his evolution over the last couple years of when you being gone and everything. In what ways did you help him? And what ways did you add insight for his own journey? Can you elaborate on that?
I'll just first say that was an honor to get a phone call from him in that time period in his life. I was really honored by that. Like, I just felt like it was really awesome. And I told him this because when all that stuff started going down with me, he called me and he's like, left me a message on my phone. And his message was, brother, hey, buddy, just thinking about you. I know a lot's going on. Give me a call if you need anything. And I think I left that on my phone. I might even still have it on my phone. That just, it really meant a lot to me when that stuff was going down that he called me. I appreciated it. And then it was just like this honor and this full circle situation when he called me when he's going through his situation. And I don't know how I helped him. I just told him where my heart's at in this whole thing, you know? And I told him at the end of the day, you know, there are things that are worth infinite. And gaming is not one of them. Especially when you put them up against these things that are these treasures that are infinitely valuable. And so that's what I told him. And we talked a lot about this, you know, these ideas of you know, gaining self-worth from people and the, you know, magic celebrity, you know, stuff that's going on. And you know, not that I'm against all that. I'm just saying, like, you know, when you thrive on that, when you draw from it, it's a dangerous place to draw. And it's a, you know, it just makes a terrible, God, you know, it's not fulfilling. And you're always thirsty. You're always hungry and you're always thirsty. and you're never content. And it's terrible. It's miserable. And so we just talked about that. And we talked for a while. I don't know. I don't know how. I don't know what things I said really clicked with him. But I think he made the right decisions. And at the end of the day, he fought for what was important. And I think that's what is most important, is that we fight. You know, because we won't win them all. You know, like, I won't win every fight that I have to put my mind to love God with my full mind. I won't win every fight to do that, you know? But it's important that I fight, that I make the effort, you know? And yeah. And I think that's what I think Scotty did the right thing. He fought, you know?
What kind of questions did he have for you? Do you remember any specific ones?
I remember him asking about, like, what it was like to leave the game and, like, how I felt. And to me, leaving the game is not really a big deal. The game itself is a great game. It's a fun game. You know, like I said, every now and then I get the inkling to play it. You know, I want to play that game. And then I remember, Manascrew and all that other stuff, and you know, I just hate it. You know, it's like torture. But but it's really like leaving the game for me, and I think a lot for Scott, was this idea that you're leaving this this kind of safety net of people who are validating you. You know, that's what was going on there. You know, and you're also leaving people that you care about. You know. Like, I left in kind of an abrupt way, you know, I think Scotty did too. And like, I still care about Jay. I still care about KYT. I still cared about everyone who worked on the website with me, who was building this business with me. I still cared about all the people who were like loyal supporters of the things that I did, you know? So those were the kind of the harder things, is like, you know, leaving that all those people in their lives and just kind of exiting their lives. That was the stuff. And so that's kind of the stuff I talked about with him, is that, you know, but that stuff is not, leaving the game doesn't mean you have to leave their lives. You know, there's a lot of Magic players that I still have lunch with, you know. We don't talk about Magic really, because, you know, I don't have much to say about that, but we talk about all kinds of other things. And so you don't have to leave people's lives when you leave the game. You know, we talked about that. Man, I don't really remember everything we talked about. We talked for a while.
I mean, we still keep in touch to this day, me and you, and me and Scott as well, and we relate to things that are outside of just Magic. So
yeah, I mean, I was still texting Jay. I still talk to KYT sometimes. I like to tease KYT and act like I'm getting back in the game by sending
it, because he gets so excited, right?
Hey, I'm teasing the fact that I'm just gonna spoil it all over Twitter, right? Front page of Face to Face Games too. But Dina's back, baby.
I love doing that. It's fun. But yeah, I don't know, man. What else can we say about that? You know, I'm glad that Scotty is on the path that he is. You know, I think he did the right thing. And I think everyone who's, like, sometimes I talk to people and they're talk about getting out of the game. There's my friend Wen just got out of the game. He sold out. My friend Dan Rober sold out. It's neat to see them do that. And it's just funny because, like, Wen is selling out. And then I had mentioned, oh, yeah, I played some games on MTGO. And he's like, what? Dude, you know, what are you doing? You know, it's like, it's a funny, like, I'm like, you know, I'm not like, because
treating
I
it like that, an addict situation.
Yeah, yeah, they treat it like that. And maybe it should be treated like that. I'm not saying it shouldn't, or, you know, but it's just like, I think because the mindset is different that I approach this stuff with, it's a whole different ball game. You know, it's not like I'm not going back, you know, I'm not coming back, you know, I'm not going to F&M's. I'm not, you know. I'm not doing that stuff. Like, it just doesn't, it's not compatible with my lifestyle right now. And I don't think it ever will be again, you know?
Yeah. I had another question. We see often in situations like this, there's like a transfer of resentment that kind of happens from like the person to the object.
Yeah.
Like, so like, for example, in your situation, was Meredith ever like,
did she ever become resentment about the things that you were towards the resent? Did she ever become resentment towards the things that you were into and towards the things that you were spending your time with, like gaming, like Magic specifically, like the business, like Legit MTG, the A-Team, like the podcast? Did that ever happen?
I think she loves the podcast, so definitely not the podcast. I think there's definitely, I think there's a little bit of, I would say pause or concern if I start talking about playing some Magic. You know, there was a time I did a Modern Master draft at the house with some buddies, and she was like, are you sure you're okay with this? Like, are you going to be able to manage this, you know? And I was like, oh, I think I can, you know? And I was like, only one way to find out. No. you know, and so there is that little bit of stuff, but it's not very, I wouldn't say it would be deep resentment or anything. One thing I do is I sell bulk Magic cards on eBay. So I've been doing that for like a year now. And before I did that, I prayed about it and I talked to Meredith and I said, you know, hey, how do you feel about this? You know? And she was for it. She's like, yeah, sure. I think that'd be good, you know? And I was like, okay. Like, I was more kind of like treading lightly on that one. And, you know, I still do that. And to me, it's like a job, you know, it's not really, you know, to me, this like gets pampers, you know, like, yeah. It's not the same as it used to be where, like, you know, I was just so pumped to have Magic cards around and just like, oh yeah, Magic, you know, it's just like, oh dude, I got these freaking boxes. I got to sort through these things and put them in 100 card packs, you know, or like I just got 5 orders for Black on eBay and it's 11 o'clock. This is not going to be fun. You know, like, you know, that's kind of there's a different tone. So I would say Meredith has been just awesome. Just never stopped being awesome. You know, she's great. And I don't really feel any resentment. If there's anything, she feels protective, you know, of me and in our relationship and where we've come. You know, she doesn't want to lose me to just, you know, I mean, I was gone, man. When we were doing this podcast and I was doing Magic, I was out the door, man. I was not available. And so it's a scary thing, you know, but I feel like she feels very secure in that, that I'm still going to be around and that, you know, I tread very lightly on these topics and these things, you know?
Yeah.
And if anybody else has any questions.
I never had resentment for that, you know. If there's anything like that now, I kind of hate that I didn't hate. It wouldn't be gaming. It would be pornography. Like, to me, like that, I do resent that. I don't like it. I don't think it does good things to people or for people. And, okay. You know, it's not something I support or even think is good for people. And because I love people, I don't want people involved in that, you know? Same thing, because I love people, I want people to know about God. I want people to know that he's loving and that he wants a relationship with them. He wants to commune with them, you know? So I would say resentment on that note. Yeah, I resent pornography.
Well, John, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but my secondary career is...
I don't resent you, man. I don't resent you. you know, but I resent what you do. If
that I'm taking my clothes off. It's pornographic podcasting, see? But you guys
and you,
don't
and know you interview I'm people podcasting
all naked.
Oh man.
So yeah, well, like, anybody else have any questions for Medina while he's still on?
Well, I mean, originally I was going to ask him what he thought of the price of this fucking Judge Foil Mandarine, but then we talked about God for 2 hours, so well, I don't know if it's really relevant anymore.
We could still answer that. Like, is there a price right now, or is it? Do we not have a price yet?
Somebody said on Star City it's like $800 or $900.
What if it's in this? What if it's in
this? It's ridiculous.
What if it's in this Eternal Master set?
You think it is? You think they're going to put Force and Drain in there?
I mean, didn't they reprint Drain in Eternal Master, or in a, what was it, Vintage Master series or something on MTGO?
I'm not sure.
I think so. I think they'll, like, they have a strong motivate, like, they have a strong pressure. There's pressure on WotC to, like, reprint every card that they possibly can that is not on the reserve list. So I imagine that with Eternal Masters, I can foresee them taking a very liberal approach to reprinting and just be like, you want this card? All right, cool. We'll reprint it. Like,
but
you
why
want this
would
card?
They do that? They've never done that before.
They don't have like the pressure of like a limited Grand Prix on them. So like it can be kind of like, I mean, to say that it can be a garbage limited format is not exactly true, but like they don't have to like test that limited format to get it right like they did either of the Modern Masters because they're not having a GP. Like there's no like tournament.
I don't think it'll be garbage, man.
I don't think it'll be garbage either.
The designers behind it are going to care. They're going to want it to be draftable. They're going to want it to be fun because they take pride in their work.
Yeah, Adam Prozac was like lead on this. And there's no doubt that this is going to be a fun limited format.
I agree. Yeah. I'm not saying that, like, I'm just saying that there's less pressure on it for them to be like, put Comet Storm as a mythic, for example.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a limited format. We have to have Comet Storm as mythic. I'm sorry. Like, that's just how it has to be because we can't have it as uncommon. Or we can't have, we, you know. So I can foresee, like, the rares and mythics being, like, superb, like cards that should be rare or mythic, and then them taking a little few liberties on the limited format.
Did they release this as like a level 4 judge promo or something, like really limited?
Level 3, I think.
Yeah, because the price on this thing, they're selling on eBay between $950 and $1,100.
Yeah, it's very very rare.
Yeah, this is not like the normal judge foils that are just going like,
it's rarer than the Force of Wills were.
Yeah, and they're
really
and they're,
wow.
Yeah.
I guess
and the I'll Force of Wills were to pretty much anybody who signed up another judge, so it was L2 and up essentially because you had to be at L2 to certify, and they would give out multiples to those people. Whereas with this one here, I'm pretty sure it was just like L3s and. That's it.
So, like, this will not go down unless they release this as a normal judge foil.
Or in Eternal Masters.
Or in Eternal Masters, which even then, it's questionable whether the judge foil will go down. Because sometimes people prefer judge foils over pack foils. I always preferred pack foils.
Me too.
But you know, I don't know. People might... So this is, it's going to be really difficult to get your hands on these because there is a vintage, like, populace, and every vintage player, I mean, they play with Black Lotus, man. Getting a playset of these is no thing, you know?
So would you say that this is legit MTG?
I would not say that. I would say the price is real. The price is real. As crazy as it is, it is a real price. If I had one, I would sell it for that much.
Really? That's ridiculous. I mean, obviously you'd sell it for that much because that's what it's worth. And
that's a lot of pampers, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you should cloth diaper.
I tried that. We tried that first, and it gave Maya a little rash. And,
really?
Yeah, and it was really difficult to freaking do. So I ended up having
to be miserable.
This... You know what? It wasn't for us. Like.
It wasn't
like
wasn't
you have
really
to deal
bad.
With their poop regardless. Like you deal with it in something you throw out, or you deal with it in something that you throw into a very easy to deal with bag thing.
Yeah, all you have to. I even installed the shooter on the toilet.
I love the shooter. The shooter's great for everything.
Yeah, I even installed that. I was ready to go, and it just wasn't working out, man. And we actually bought the cloth diapers up front. Like,
we went and bought
the whole thing. You know, like $500 in cloth diapers. And then it just didn't work out. We tried it like three times through, like first we tried it when she was an infant and then I was giving her rash and stuff. And then we tried it, like maybe three or four months later. And then we tried it again, like when she was 18 months and it was like or not 18, but 12 months, and it's like, nah, this is just not working. So I sold it all on eBay, and we called it a day. But yeah, it is cheaper. If you can get it to work, it's much cheaper than buying multiple Pampers diapers.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're first-time parents, so you always, like, I mean, if you have a lot of kids, then you know you can buy the cheap stuff, right?
Yeah.
You could just get the formula that's like Toys R Us brand or whatever, you know? But as a first-time parent, it's so hard to do that. You're kind of like, well, I don't know. There might be something about this more expensive formula. There's probably more nutrients in this one. I'm telling you, man. Let's just be sure and buy it. You know, it's that kind of thinking, you know? Or like wipes. You're like, huh. Like these wipes.
Costco wipes for the win.
Why are these wipes so much cheaper? There's got to be some kind of problem here, you know? This kind of stuff. And it's just, I mean, it's stupid, you know, right? It's not really logical thinking. But
honestly, but, though, like everyone out there, Costco wipes. Seriously, you don't need kids, man. Life is much better when you're wiping with wipes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I'm not going to wipe my ass with a baby wipe. What the fuck?
No, with just general things.
With general things, but also that's the sound of a man who just has not experienced luxury.
Okay, all right. I see what's happening here. I've never tried that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to confirm or deny that I will try. But
it's okay. We're all friends here.
Man. So yeah, there's a little baby finance for you. For you people out there, and a little bit of magic finance as well. You know,
sell your baby, buy magic.
Do not do that.
No.
Do not do that.
Sell your baby. Jeez.
The secondary market's just not very good for it.
No.
Yeah, the secondary magic market is pretty bad. Still pretty. I think it's gotten progressively worse. If I'm not mistaken, like dual
what
lands,
do you mean?
Like dual lands are insane right now, right?
Wow. Yeah.
Like, what's the underground see? Like $300 or something?
Yeah, dealers are buying UCs, Trops, or not? Maybe not Trops, but Volcanics, and it might just be like all the blue duels are like 265. I think 260, 265 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like dealers are buying them for that. So
yeah, that's just gross, man. And that's the thing, is like there's so much money you have to pay to play this game. It's like when I started looking at MTGO list to like try to play, you know, a couple games or whatever, I was like, you need four Jaces if you play like the kind of decks that I want to play, like in standard or whatever. And on MTGO they were like $100 each.
Yeah, like that's the thing, is I try to maintain a good MTGO collection.
Uh-huh.
I don't have Jaces. Just can't.
Oh, so just borrow cards from Jeremy if I want to play. Okay, sweet.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. I need my Cocos back. I have other people on a wait list now. There's a wait list for my Cocos, KYP.
What are Cocos?
Fuck.
Collected Company.
Oh, yeah, that card is really popular, too. Yeah, I don't know, man. Just. See, there's so much to think about. It's like, nah. Well, but it is, you know, if you're in it, I can see, like, it's just fun, you know, when you're just marinating your brain in it. Yeah, you know, you're all about that, you know, what's the latest edge, what's the best tech, you know?
So Medina, we'll use this opportunity to, have you heard about our GoFundMe?
Yes, you and Jay are trying to get somewhere, right?
Oh, the whole cast. We're trying to get to Toronto.
Yeah, and somebody said they would only fund one of you guys or something. What was that all about?
Somebody only wanted to fund that, yeah.
What's up with that? Come on, guys. So what can we do about this GoFundMe? Like, I don't have any money.
Well, okay.
True, I don't either. That's why we're doing a GoFundMe.
I mean, you know, if I had money, I would hook you guys up, but I... So I'm selling bulk magic cards on eBay. Come on, man.
So it's GoFundMe.com/ATeamToronto. You can go there,
donate to our plane tickets and all sorts of stuff. And basically what we're doing is we're going to do a stream on Friday, drafting at Jay's Cube as well as MTGO playing. We're going to do some Battlefield audio pieces as well as some deck techs and interviews and all sorts of stuff.
We're just going to do fun.
Yes. But yeah, we figure that's the only one of the GPs this year that we can all go to. Probably the only one, as well as it's like local to a whole bunch of other people. So, but we are the most exciting part is we're having giveaways for all of our donors. For every $25 you donate, you'll get a chance to enter. You'll get a chance to win one of our many, many prizes, including an Expedition Verdant Catacombs and an Expedition Temple Garden. So,
Well, what would you say though to people who go, okay, guys, you got this GoFundMe going on, right? But, like, you guys have Magic collections. Why don't you sell some of that stuff and then just buy your own plaything?
I would say that, I would say no. I am personally paying tuition and for a wedding and stuff like that. So I have basically extracted almost all the value out of my Magic collection that I can. And it goes to the other life funds, I guess.
Okay. So the guy who's trying to get you there, we should tell him to hook you up, right? Because like, we need that going on.
Yeah.
You're getting married?
I am. Yeah.
Congratulations, man.
Well, thank you very much.
It's awesome. It's awesome, man.
Yeah, and expensive. It's awesome and expensive.
I'm talking about marriage itself. Like, getting married, yeah, it can be expensive. It can be not expensive. It's up to you, you know? Well, it's up to your bride, of course, but as KYT will find out, probably.
Maybe, eventually.
You know, I'm kind of bummed I haven't heard much from KYT this cast, man. I was looking forward to, like, hearing more from these guys.
Do you ever?
That's kind of how it works. It hasn't changed much, Medina.
Yeah, but my appetite for KYT and Jay Bouge is so voracious. And
Matt doesn't know yet. He didn't know at the time that when you are talking gospel that we don't really have a whole lot to add. So he just kind of went deep on that. And so, you know, your insatiable appetite for me and KYT is not going to get filled by eating.
We want burritos, man.
I heard. What if we do a GoFundMe? What if we do a GoFundMe instead
and
bring you guys to Cincinnati? That's what I got to say, man. That would be
what
cool.
A destination.
You know what? Flying to Cincinnati might be cheaper.
Yeah, and I'll put you guys up. You know, I'll make you some burritos.
Way better, man. Already way better.
I made these guys burritos, breakfast burritos. Did I make you guys breakfast burritos?
Not me.
KYT.
I don't remember.
Oh man, they weren't memorable.
But your house was awesome. I would have remembered, so probably not. I don't think so.
Ah man, yeah. So and they watched what movie was that?
we were in the middle of Wolf of Wall Street, I think.
Yeah, Wolf of Wall Street.
And it was about to get pretty either vulgar or sexual. So you're like,
I don't think that movie gets. I think it kind of starts and stays.
Yeah, I had to sit that one out, but I was like, all right, guys, you're on your own.
But it was an awesome experience. It was awesome to your place is awesome. Like, we were very comfortable there, and I think John Stern really got hooked on Steak and Shake or something.
Oh, yeah, remember that? Yeah, he did. Oh, it was good to have you guys over, man. That's what I'm saying. Go fund me to Cincinnati. And, like, we don't even need a Magic tournament over here. Who cares about all that business?
Yeah.
Just come down, and then we'll just eat. We'll hang out. We'll validate each other. We'll be
I'm
awesome.
All about that. I'm all about eating and getting validation.
And that's when I found out how crazy Mark Sun is.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I miss Mark Sun, man. Oh, I seen him the other day. Man. I seen him at a tournament the other day. I went to Cincinnati, Star City, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
This is like, Yeah, I was just like, I went up there for an hour to sell cards because, you know, I sell bulk on eBay, but I also pick the bulk because, like, I'm not just going to put like $2 cards in those bulk packages.
Well,
right?
Hell no, right. You're not.
No. So so I had a bunch of picks that I had to go and sell. So I took them up to the GP. I keep trying to say GP Cincinnati, but Star City Cincinnati. And yeah, that was Scene Mark Sun, man.
I mean, he just disappeared. I think he deleted his Facebook and never put it back.
Really?
Good for him. Facebook is the devil.
I know, but I think he disappeared completely. Like, even Twitter.
No,
I feel like
he has a Twitter for some other card game that sucks.
Which card game?
He had League for
a long
point.
Oh, yeah, League. That's what it was.
But I don't know if it still exists, but he was driving. He's such a reckless guy. And he'd tell us how he, like, on the way to driving Medina, he'd be like watching SCG Live at the same time or a LOL stream, or me and Alex are like, oh fuck. Oh man. But good times.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Mark said, man, miss that guy. I want to have lunch with him at some point. And hopefully we can catch up soon, and I don't know what I'm going to do about this appetite for Jay and KYT since they don't want to come to Cincinnati.
Hey, I didn't want to come. It wasn't my. I didn't get to choose the GoFundMe. Had you piped up earlier, it would be GoFundMe.
With all my visits to the cast, I should have piped up earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Oh, man. Yeah, so yeah, I'm looking forward to the comments in the from our listeners. You know, there's always great trolley comments. Actually,
every time you come back,
yeah, that's always fun to read. But you know what? I was reading the comments from last week, and I noticed that that there was somebody in there who was talking about the safe space stuff, right, Matt? Polish tomorrow.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Polish man.
Yeah, Polish did not like that at all. Huh.
He's unleashed.
Yeah.
What happened?
Something happened to him a little while ago, and he changed. Because I noticed
know
that a while
fair.
Ago. Like used to.
I don't mean this. Like, I'm not trying to talk smack about him, or anything.
I just noticed
there was a response there, and like.
Yeah. Yeah, and like he, I don't know. Yeah, like something basically happened. I don't really know what it was, but I noticed a definite. Change like I noticed that he definitely had a change in his attitude.
He admits it himself.
Yeah.
Like even on Twitter, he's like, the Polish that you knew before doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, the tone was totally different, and I noticed that. And that's another guy I miss, man. I miss Polish. you know. So
maybe
yeah.
Not the new version, but
well, I don't know.
I think the new version, I don't think there's too much wrong. I disagree with some of the things that he said, but he was just, it seems like he's trying to find a new identity, trying to be more empowered in his identity. And I think that that's really cool. You know, when somebody's trying to toughen themselves up in a sense, like I think the message was misguided. But I think that
I see what you're saying. Yeah, he was. Yeah. It was
well,
like kind of like a big brother telling a little brother to, you know.
Yeah, to toughen up almost. But and like I said, like earlier, you can't yell somebody into agreeing with you. And again, not to just to keep in the religious connotation of the show, but not to shit on religion. But. That's, for example, like one reason why some people, take me, for example, do not respond well to religious people in general, because in my experience, and I'm trying to change this, but in my experience, they're always trying to convert me or bring everything back to God, which is really difficult to have a conversation with you about anything if you're constantly trying to convert me to your church. Or tell me that if I don't follow these rules, I'm going to hell. So, that's what I feel like. It's just like, it's kind of, the message is probably there, you know? If the message, like what we talked about with John earlier is, you know, live a good life and be the best person that you can and always try to improve. If that's God's message, that as John interpreted, that's great, right? That's fine. Where a lot of people draw issue is when it's like, you know, people are going to be rude to you, so safe spaces are fucking stupid. Don't be such a pussy. That's maybe the message is there that, like, hey, this sucks. People are going to always be mean to you, so, like, you know, you can't always...
Like, find the strength in yourself and
yeah,
all that
yeah,
kind of
stuff. Yeah, find the strength in yourself. And that's not the same as toughen up and stop being a bitch. Like, that's not the same thing. But that's how people say it sometimes. And so, you know, sometimes the message is there, but the delivery is not.
The delivery, so yeah.
I mean, it kind of feels like the point that he was getting at, that's the constant point that, like, I think that people like Polish were trying to make were... was like it's like kind of victim blaming, like kind of like it's partially how you, like it's how you respond to it, like this is the reality of the world, like you know, toughen like, up, suck it up. And it's just like,
yeah,
my like, argument is like we should push for change, like why can't we push
and I think that's true. The issue becomes with things like where you see negative change that actually isn't good at all. So for example, how nobody wins anything anymore. So you go and you play a sport and you're a young child. And, you know, when you're 3 years old, when you're 5 years old, you don't need to learn winning and losing. But, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 and up, you need to start learning that you cannot win everything just because you were born. There are winners and there are losers. And the reason that you need to learn that is because you need to learn how to deal with negatives, deal with rejection, deal with getting hurt, deal with losing, deal with trying your best and it not being good enough, and how to react to that and how to grow as a person and how to, you know, face adversity and not just give up as soon as you, you know, as soon as you don't get what you want. So this practice of how, like, you know, in schools, there's like no sports program because they don't want to have winners and losers, or how there's no trophies anymore that have any kind of reasonable denomination. They're all just, everybody just gets the same prize no matter what. And you know what, there's a place for that. Like if I say to you, okay, just, you know, like there's a famous quote in my play group. It's not about the magic, it's about the gathering. So, you know, when I play Cube, I want to win. I want to beat you. I want to be better than you. I want that validation. But it's not about that. It's about hanging out with my buds and playing and having a good time. But at the same time, like, I don't ever want to play poker for no money. Because yeah, when you play poker for no money, even though it's about having fun with your family or your friends and you're just hanging out, there's nothing on the line. So people don't play the way the game is intended to be played. So if you're going to play for nothing, play something else. You know, if you're going to go and you're going to try to get a job interview and you've never faced adversity before, you've never faced any kind of competition before, you've never been told no, you've always had a safe space. How are you going to react to that when, you know, you don't have a fucking job and you can't get one because you don't know how to live in the real world? And I think that's a lot of the stuff where like, guys like Polish Tamales come from in the toughen up. The real world isn't like that. And you know what? When I was reading his comment, it was one of those, I don't know what the argument's called, but it's one of those things where, you know, somebody, I could see, for example, how somebody could relate to, like, Donald Trump. You know, I can see how some of the arguments that he's making politically, maybe you agree with. But the way that he's going about it is very obviously the wrong way, and it's going to be a disaster when he wins the presidency. But I think that, and that's kind of the issue, is you're looking at it almost as two different sides of the coin. You have Matt, who is going down a path one way and is trying to cope and deal with his issues and problems and in, say, a different way than someone like Polish is doing. And Polish has had success, I guess, like, according to him or her, in that fashion, dealing with it that way. And a lot of issues of this stem, and again, going back to religion, going back to politics, going back to everything, a lot of this stems from, if I can do it, so can you. You know, for example, being somebody who is overweight and has been for a very long time, it's really difficult to talk to people about your weight, right? Because they just don't get it. Like, I'm right now, I'm trying to do a ketosis diet. I'm not going to really bore you with that, but it's basically no carb. Look it up online. It's really great. And it's working for me. But you know what? When I tell people about it, they challenge me because they feel like if they haven't heard of it, then it doesn't work. If a doctor didn't tell them, then it doesn't work. If they didn't see it on Oprah, then it doesn't work. And because they don't have to do it to lose weight, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people look at Jonathan and they say, well, you know, I don't need God to be happy and not cheat on my wife and not look at porn. Why do you? And John looks at people maybe and says, I need God for this and I need God for that for those same reasons. So why don't you? And Matt looks at a bully and says, I need a safe space to protect me from. And
No.
Like, I'm overgeneralizing it. But I'm saying, like, okay, someone like Polish could say, you know, I was bullied. I had the same hardships as you. I cried. I went through it. It was tough, and I didn't need a fucking safe space. I manned up. And, you know, it's one of those issues. A lot of people, in just general humanity, a lot of people deal with this issue where if I can do it, that means that you can. And that's just not true, unfortunately. And that's where a lot of the problems, I think, come from with, you know, talking about in the comments, like where those comments were just, like, there was, you're reading them, and there's things that he was saying that I agreed with, that I absolutely agreed with. But there was a lot of stuff that I didn't, just even just in the tone, you know? And it's really hard. It's really hard for people to put out a message without getting really personal and really attached to that message. You can tell he very obviously feels very strongly about the issue.
And I think you could take that and say, that's good, because you know, he's giving you something he feels strongly about, you know, which is that shows that he cares, you know, because otherwise apathy is really in a way hatred, you know, if he's like, yeah, I don't care. I'm not going to tell this guy anything. He can just keep, you know, and like, you know, to correct your overgeneralization of me, I'm not saying, why don't you need God to do this stuff or whatever, you know, I'm just saying, hey, I think God is awesome, and I think that that people are missing out, and I think that we all need God. That's my worldview. You know, I need him, you need him. My worldview only functions if we need him, right?
Yeah. Like, for the record, again, just because I was overgeneralizing, I was saying like people, religious people in general, that try to convert other ones like really aggressively. For the record, like John's never ever ever attempted to push me that way. So you know, John.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate.
So you know, I didn't want to like step on your toes and be like, "Hey, man, for 2 hours you've been talking about Jesus, and I'm getting upset about it." I'm not trying to say that.
Well, it also a little bit is like this is me. You know, this is what I do. It's what I think about. Like, you know, I mean, as you can tell, like the stuff we talked about. You know, this is not stuff I'm making up at the moment. It's stuff I think about. You know,
I think what Jay was trying was, I think my argument was more like to take Jay's for example, or myself, who is somebody who has constantly been overweight like my whole life. It's like there are two things that we can attack. We can inspire people to handle adversity better, to help people understand that the world is sometimes not a kind place, and you need to be able to survive that, because it sucks. Like, that is a reality of existence. But some people take that as like this view of like, we shouldn't do the other stuff that we need to do to get people to treat other people better. Like, we shouldn't challenge bullies. We shouldn't go after really damaging, really hurtful behavior and words and things like that.
And that's like, that's my approach, is like, I believe that there's a two-pronged approach. Like, I had to toughen up, but I also want to create a safe space for people. Cause I believe the world is harsh enough as it is. Like, why do we want to isolate each other? And why do we want to basically put each other in these positions where they need to be tough, by themselves? You know, it's this more individualistic, like, oh, you know, you just, you know, whatever, like, nobody is safe anywhere. And it's like, no, I don't know. I believe everybody, like, it just takes like a couple things for people, a couple snide comments or a couple put downs, a couple whatever, to take somebody who is like already teetering and like already having all of these doubts and already experiencing all of these like negative thoughts and feelings. It just takes a couple more to pile on to like completely tear them down and to completely make them not a person.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's just my protector nature. I'm the oldest of like 10 kids. So like I have 9 brothers and sisters. That like when you're talking about this, like I just want to be the shelter for that person who's hurt. You know, I just want to help my brother, or I just want to, you know, if something's going on, you know, safe spaces or whatever aside, if someone's hurt, I want to show them love so they know, like, hey, you know, you're valued. You know, this is how God sees you. This is how, you know, it's not like that. All that other stuff is poison. All that other stuff is untruth or lies, you know? And so I think if we all approach it that way, not that all of us could, like Jay was saying, like everyone should just do it like me. But I think that the more people that approach it with just loving other people, the better it would be, because even the people who are bullies, they've got pain, you know? They've got to be loved. They need that same, you know, love. They still need that, like, hey, you're significant, man. Like, you don't need to put people down to feel good about yourself. You're good, man. Like, you know, we accept you. This kind of stuff. This is part of why I love the magic community as a whole, is because I think I understand that so well. You know, that just that mentality and the same injuries that I think a lot of magic players harbor, I understand them, and I've been through that stuff, and I just see it, and I love it. You know, the battling with the weight, you know, I understand that, like, and all that stuff. So when I see like a room full of magic players, I just love these guys, you know, like I want them all to win. You know, and I don't mean at magic. I want them all to win in life. I want them all to be happy. You know, because I think that's what God would want. God would want their fulfillment, their satisfaction.
Here's an interesting question, because I agree with all this, and I'm just going to change the subject.
Okay.
Okay.
Sweet.
So from my buddy Jeremy's wedding this weekend. So, by the way, Jeremy loves the podcast. So
sweet.
I appreciate all of your support, buddy. Love you. And
as well, he should.
Yep. And so at his wedding, so Jeremy is very young. He's like 6 years younger than me. And we met through the podcast. So just really quickly, for those that didn't know how I met Jeremy. So I wanted to tell the story at his wedding, but he didn't ask me to give a speech because he's very unprepared and unorganized.
Oh, but that's a bummer. You were sitting there with the speech in your pocket?
Because here's the thing. So Jeremy is great for all of the reasons that I hate. Anybody that knows me knows that I like plans. So for example, if I was to go to Cincinnati and I said, hey, John, I'm going to come to Cincinnati. My flight lands at 5. What time will you be there?
4:45.
If John said like around 5, I would expect him no later than 5:15. Any later than that is not 5-ish anymore.
You're going to get back on the plane and go home.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck you. I've had an argument about this on the way to GP Portland in a car, which takes 14 hours. I had like a 2-hour argument with someone about this. Now, this is at a different time in my life when I was pretty relentless, I guess I want to say. I feel like I've calmed down quite a bit lately. But but Jeremy is the kind of guy that he wouldn't care. He cares so little, in fact, that he would probably say, like, hey, I'm coming to Cincinnati on whatever day this is. I'll call you when I get there. And then he wouldn't realize that you live, like, you know, maybe 3 hours away, and he would be fine with that. He would just chill in the airport, and he'd probably meet some cool people, and then he would just go with them, unafraid of getting murdered, his organs being harvested, and then he would just have a great time, and then you would come to pick him up, and then you wouldn't be able to find him because he never answers his phone, and then he would be fine with that. He would think that's cool.
He sounds like my kind of people.
Yeah. Oh, man. So he flies by the seat. Like, so for example, if you're ever trying to do anything with Jeremy, he doesn't care. Whatever you want to do, man. And you're like, no, it's your birthday party. What do you want to do? And he's like, I don't care, man. Whatever. Doesn't matter to me.
And you're like, by the way, Jay, this is the dynamic me and Lauren, my fiance, have.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Great.
Which one are you? Are you the planner or are you the...
No, absolutely not. I'm like the... Like, look, it's going to turn out fine. We're not going to die. Let's enjoy life.
I cannot do that shit. So, anyway, so Jeremy's planning his wedding. So his girlfriend, or I guess wife now, doesn't listen to the podcast. So I hope that, Jeremy, if you're listening to this, you pause it and you take it to Krista and you have her listen to this. So I've been married once. I almost said twice. I've been married once, and I've been in two other weddings, and they're all very recent. So, like I said earlier, with Brian, I guess it appears as though I know what I'm talking about. I'm also a super planner, and I have, like, a pretty eidetic memory. So when Jeremy said, hey, I'm getting married, and I want you to be in my wedding party, I said, sure. And then I said, what can I help you with? And he said, no, nothing. Don't worry about it. And I said, okay. And then a week later, I'm like, hey, man, how's it going? And he's like, oh, my God, the wedding. I'm so stressed. And I'm like, well, just tell me what you want to do. Let's go do something. Let's go get it. Let's do something. Let's just get one thing off your list. Just one. Just even one thing. Let's go do it. And he's like, nah, there's not really anything. Okay. Whatever. And then so I'm in the wedding party. So for those of you that don't know, when you're in a wedding party, you generally all wear the same suit. Or if you're a bridesmaid, generally it's all the same dress. And, you know, you match, and the bride and groom, they pick those out. And, you know, they kind of match the theme and the colors of the wedding. So I say to Jeremy, hey, man, when are we going to go get suits done? And this is like 6 months to the wedding, right? I'm like, we should go at least look. Like, what do you know what you kind of want? And he's like, nah, I don't care. And I'm like, okay. But, like, you want us to all have the same suits, right? And he's like, yeah, I guess. I'm like, well, what does Krista want? Because Krista probably wants us all to have the same suits and to look the same, right? And he's like, yeah, I guess, whatever. Then, like, I ask him this probably once every 3 weeks for the next 2 months. So now we're 3 months away from the wedding, and I'm saying, like, just so you know, like, when we rent suits and stuff, or if we ever have to, like, order a suit in, like, the people at Moore's Clothing are, like, the worst people. Like, they have the worst customer service, and they operate on a system that is like those green computers at, like, the library where, like, the letters are burned into the screen. Like, their system is probably older than you are, Jeremiah, so maybe we should get on this. And he's like, yeah, let's plan that. And I'm like, okay, let's plan it right now. And he's like, nah, we'll plan it later. And I'm like, no, let's plan it right now, because I have a
plan. Is to make a plan.
Right? And he's like, no, it's cool. I'll talk to Krista, and I'll let you know. I'm like, okay. Then I text him the next day, did you talk to Krista? No. Okay, well, are you going to talk to her? Yeah, I'll get back to you. I'll do it right now. Don't hear from him for 2 days. Okay? Hey, man, I see him on Sunday when we play D&D. Hey, man, you get the suits? No. I haven't really planned it yet, but how's like Tuesday for you? How's Tuesday for you? I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. Tuesday, I'll make time for you, bro. I'm in your wedding.
Oh, God.
Okay. And he's like, yeah, okay. So then he texts me like 15 minutes after he leaves D&D. He's like, oh yeah, it won't work. Tuesday we have something that I forgot about. It was on the calendar, but I never look at the calendar, so I didn't know. I'm like, okay, cool, that's fine. Then like Friday night, I get a text at like 8:45. what size suit do you wear? And I'm like, I don't know, because they're all different sizes, and also I wear them like once a year at most, so I'm not sure. Why? Oh, we're at Moore's right now getting the suit. And I'm like, okay, so should I show up? And he's like, no, because they close in 12 minutes, so you won't be here in time. So I just wondered if you knew what size suit you wore. Because, you know, I figured I'd just pick it up for you. No, I don't know. So we'll have to go this week sometime, I think. And he says, yeah, okay. And then we don't go. And we we continue to not go. And I ask him every Sunday at D&D, and I text him almost every day. And my wife is even getting nervous and, like, upset. Because she's like, I'm like, you know what? It's not my wedding. Like, if the day comes and I don't have a suit, then it's up to them. Like, I either don't stand up there, which would really suck, or I stand up there without a suit, and I just, like, what? I'm, like, beach shorting it and next to two guys in tuxedos, and then we have a great story. And my wife's like, no, you have to, no. So then I, like, basically force him to go to Moore's Clothing to get me a rental tux. Well, he's like, this process has been so bad. I don't want to make you drive into Calgary. So for those of you that don't know, I used to live in Calgary. I now live in Airdrie, which is about 10 minutes outside of Calgary. So he's like, I don't want you to drive all the way into Calgary. It's my fault. So I'll drive out to Airdrie. I'm like, all right, is there a Moore's in Airdrie? He's like, yeah, there is. I'm like, okay. So then it's 5 minutes before we're supposed to leave to go to Moore's. And I say to him, are you sure there's a Moore's in Airdrie? And he says, yeah. And I say, okay, I'm going to just Google it so that I know where it is, because I'm trying to think of where it is, and I can't think of where it is right now. And he's like, yeah, I just Googled it, and I can't find it. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, well, let's phone one. So I phone one, and he phones one. And they both tell us, there's no Moore's in Airdrie. So then I'm like, okay, well, let's just go to Calgary. He's like, no, I don't want you to do this. I don't have time now, and it's too far. We'll go another time. It's now 11 days to his wedding.
Oh.
Yep.
This is just painful.
Yep. So I'm like, okay, tomorrow we're going to Moore's. And in between this, I've been saying, like, do you have a group number at Moore's? Do you know what kind of suit it is? Like, is it a Vera Wang? Is it a whatever, Hugo Boss? Like, tell me that, like, and I'll just go myself. I mean, you're supposed to do this with me. You're supposed to be my bro. We're supposed to do this together, but it's fine. And he's like, well, we all went to go get suits, and then it was only like $300, so we just bought them instead of renting them. And of course, like, if anybody knows anything about me, like, $300 is like, I probably haven't had $300 spare in years. So for them, it's like, it's only $300. So they just bought them. So I'm like, okay, so you don't know the style. And he's like, no, because we all bought different suits. And I'm like, what? So you all bought different suits so that we can all stand up there in our matching different suits, and everybody will be looking at us, and they'll say, hey, that guy isn't in the same suit as that guy, but that's okay. And he's like, yeah, totally fine. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So we go to Moore's. It's now 10 days to this guy's wedding. The guy's like, hey, he measures me all out, gets everything together. You know, we order, like, you know, all this stuff. And he's like, so when is this for? And I'm like, oh, it's March 12th. And he's like, oh, of 2017. And I'm like, no, in a week. And he's like, oh, we need 14 days before we can order a suit. And I'm like, yeah, I know. The groom's right over there looking at ties. You could probably tell him. He's like, and he's like, you can tell this guy, like, still wants my money. So he's like, well, we'll see what we could do. So we order it. It's $240, which is, like, I was not expecting. So of course that, like, crushed my visa. And I'll probably be paying that off for, like, the rest of time.
And hey, we should start a GoFundMe for that.
Right? We should, yeah.
Yeah.
GoFundMe to like for my mortgage. How about that?
Keep going.
So then we're like leaving, and I'm like, okay, this just has to. We have to go through this. What is the worst case scenario? Like what happens if they don't get my suit? And like, I show up to your fucking wedding, and I don't have a, you know, I don't have a suit to wear. What are we gonna do? And he's like, worst case scenario, we'll just take you into town, and I have to buy you a suit, and that sucks. I'm like, okay, whatever. So, lucky for us, the suit came, and we showed up, and we all had. There was four of us, including him. We had four different suits. I was the only one with a vest under my jacket. We also had four different kinds of shoes. We practiced at the rehearsal dinner twice, but we changed things in how the reception or at the ceremony was going to go both times, and then we just never practiced again. We just left, and we're like, whatever. So yeah, so Jeremy is like, you know, he's very nonchalant. He's very different than I am. But regardless, so
back to the speech. Bro.
Back to the speech. The way that Jeremy and I met is like 2 years ago on the podcast. I was talking about how like I can't afford to play modern or standard because like I got priced out of it basically, and so that's why I don't play Magic anymore. And he on Twitter said like, "Hey, I'll spot you cards if you want to play Magic." And I was like, "Okay, sweet." And we're going to go through this, but, you know, it never happened for a little while. And then on Twitter one day, I just put out, like, hey, I'm having friends over for games night if anybody wants to come. So, of course, Jeremy tweets back and says, oh, my God, like, fucking games night at Jay Boosh's house? That would be so awesome. I would like to come. What's your address? So I immediately just send my address. And then as I hit send, I'm like, oh, my God. I'm gonna get fucking murdered. I don't even know who's coming over for game night, and now I have a random other person coming over for game. And then, like again, because I love planning and I hate surprises, of course, Jeremy then texts me and says, "Is it okay if I bring someone?" And I fucking hate when people ask.
I need someone to hold my axe.
Exactly. Like we need an extra vehicle for all the stuff we're gonna take from you. So I'm like, I guess that's fine. Like it's too late now because, of course, I don't want to be rude to this person I've never met. So I find out later that it's his girlfriend Krista. He's like, we're gonna go play games, and then she just gets in the car and she's like, okay, so where are we going? And he's like, I don't really know. Here's the address. And she's like, what do you mean you don't know? And he's like, well, we're going to Jay's house. And she's like, who's Jay? Because you don't have a friend named Jay. And he's like, no, I met him on Twitter.
I do now.
Now we met on Twitter. He's great. And you'll love him. He's hilarious. And she says, we're going to get fucking murdered. Turn the car around. And he says, no. And drives to my house. So the first time I ever met Jeremy was when we played Cards Against Humanity and Wolf at my house after having met on fucking Twitter. And then I was in his wedding this weekend. So
CJ, what happens when you let little surprises into your life?
Yeah, exactly, yes.
So did you write this speech?
I didn't. This what I just told isn't written, but I was going to be shorter version of that, yeah.
Oh, you were going to say that at the wedding?
Yeah, I was going to say the whole, like, getting murdered meeting on the internet, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the whole suit thing, because I'm like,
isn't
that supposed to be, like, uplifting, or, like, kind of like, cheers, you know?
The end of my speech is going to be like, you know, boy, am I glad that neither of us murdered each other, Jeremy, and that now we're great friends. I couldn't be happier, you know, mazel tov.
And then you were going to pull out a big axe.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Say,
now it's time to finish the job, exactly. Buddy.
It's a long con. Got you.
CJ, I'm very much like Jeremy. I'm very much like Jeremy, except so I've been very good about our wedding planning and stuff like that, but like I always want to just like add a little whimsy, and like I always get like hooked on to whatever like this one idea I have is. So like when I'm like, can we have a pizza buffet? How can we make this pizza buffet? She's like, well, what colors do we want for the wedding? Like, what do we want where do we want our venue? I'm like, I don't know. What about this pizza buffet? How are we coming along with this thing? And it's just that writ large. So,
yeah you should say, what color is the pizza display? That's the important part.
So the game. So then, I went to Jeremy's wedding. I didn't know anybody there because obviously me and him met on the internet, and so I didn't know any of his like friends from work or high school. So to get to know them better, we played the superhero game, and it's been a while since we played a fun game on the show. So I wanted to end it with this. So if you could have any superpower, what would it be? And first, couple rules. One, you can't pick the superpower that is to get every superpower.
I didn't even know that was a superpower.
Yeah, everybody always tries that. They're like, I'd be Mystique, and I could change into anybody and get their superpowers. Or I'd be Rogue, and I could like touch you and steal your superpower, and then I could have all the superpowers. No, you can't have that. Also, right, that's banned. Yeah, that's banned. Also, you have to say, like this is as if you're wishing it from a genie. So how would the genie fuck you on?
So for example, we asked
a guy named Travis, and Travis said, I would fly. And I said, okay, well, how would a genie fuck you on that? He said, oh, he'd make it so I could only fly like 3 inches off the ground. And then my superhero name would be like the Hummingbird. And I would just have to like buzz around and be really annoying. And I think for this week, that might be a contest also.
Okay, I'm down. Well, okay, I had one planned.
You did, yeah.
I did.
But we can do two. Whatever.
We have to do two.
There you go.
Oh, we have to do two.
So starting with the guest, starting with the guest of honor. What is your superpower, John? And how would a genie get you on that?
Okay.
How would they downtrade you?
Let's see, how would they downtrade me? That's a good one. All right, so one superpower would be the ability to read every
Very
person's
fast.
Mind.
Oh.
The ability to read every person's mind.
Okay.
And I think a genie would make it so that I could read everyone's mind, but he'd do it all at once.
So you would just be like...
So it would just be like a big mesh of like, I don't know whose mind I'm... It's everyone's mind at once that I'm reading, and I don't know what's happening.
Right.
You're like listening to Korn.
And like every time somebody was trying to sing a song out of tune and with the wrong word, the volume would go up in your head.
I think my ears would start bleeding. Yeah. And I would just... I would die.
Your superpower would be dead.
So do I have to pick another one?
No, I know. That's great. That's
okay,
perfect.
Okay, that's good.
All right. Matt, you go next.
Oh, no. I don't know. I don't have one.
Nope. Can't do that.
This is a safe space, Matt.
Yeah.
somebody else go. I don't have one yet.
Okay.
I stole his. I stole it.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. So, Jeremy, you go ahead.
I read his mind.
I would be able to talk to machines.
Oh.
Like machines that had like a brain, or just all machines would have a brain with you.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's a transformer maker.
Wow. Shit. Like that fucking like the AllSpark.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Alright, yeah, that is good.
Okay, what would the genie do with that?
Yeah, what would the genie do with that?
I wouldn't be able to understand people.
Like you could only talk to machines.
It would be like a light switch. Like one goes on, the other one goes off.
Wow.
I think the genie would do this. You could talk to machines, but they wouldn't answer you.
They would just ignore you constantly. Yeah. It's just weird.
We all have that superpower, bro. We could talk to machines.
Siri, text my wife. Texting KYT. No, damn it. KYT. You can't be Batman. Well, I guess you could be Batman because Genie's gonna screw you on it.
He can't. He can't be his identity. You know
right.
I mean?
That's true.
Yeah, that would be like me saying my superpower is being Jonathan. You know, come on.
Right. Yeah. That's too late. This is a fantasy.
Look, I get to be KYT, but the Genie kills my parents.
Yes.
So morbid.
I'm trying to think of how the genie can fuck me if I wanted to be like the fastest man alive. Like I can travel from anywhere to.
Like you could just make it so you'd never stop. So you'd be like Bugs Bunny, you just running around.
That'd be terrible.
And like, so when you had a conversation with someone, it would sound like you were a race car in a stereo surround sound movie. You'd always be like, hey, how's it going?
I might as well die at that point.
Or I was just thinking sex, like yeah, where you just
you'd be the fastest like, man alive.
Of course it went there.
Right.
Come on, guys.
Okay, fine, I got mine.
Okay, go ahead.
I would be a master of any skill. Like I would just because I have
that's
so many interests.
Same as having every superpower.
No, it's not. I would basically, if I put my mind to it, I would master any skill.
Like flying?
No, not like flying, like writing or like being
or
a
like
mechanic or like shooting a basketball.
Okay, so like any human non-human.
Correct. Okay. Correct. So, and how a genie would fuck me would be that I would never get the recognition for it. So like, you know how like those people who are like, always getting promoted, like people are always getting promoted over them, but they're right. Really good at their job.
Yeah.
I just that throughout my whole life.
See, I thought you were going to go the Kelly Bundy angle.
Was that?
Where it's like you could learn and figure out anything, but the second you learn something, you'd lose the last thing.
Oh,
ooh, I like that
you
one.
Ever see that episode of Married with Children where like she like learns enough to go on a quiz show and then they ask her a question about her dad for like the final question and she has no clue?
It's like, actually a pretty good way.
He scored 5 touchdowns in a single game, and that's Al Bundy's only positive thing in his entire life. You know, the way he describes it, and it comes up like every episode, and she just blanks.
Nice. Okay,
yeah,
so
you could master any skill, but then you would only know that skill.
You'd only know that one skill, and then if you mastered another one, you forgot the last master.
So, like, if you learned how to you would just not be able to do anything else.
I mean, it's my thing, but you guys can go ahead and take it and just do whatever.
We're improving on it because
anyway.
We're a team. We're like
this is kind of root court, okay, buddy?
I was reiterating what Jeremy said. I wasn't, you know, manipulating it in any way, you know.
We're like the X-Men, so we're just helping you to get
way to back down there, Medina.
Yeah. You've changed.
I totally, you know, I defer to you, you know, completely.
Okay, so mine would be the ability to eat anything. So I could get sustenance from anything. So like if I was at the bottom of the sea, I could like eat like sand, and I would be fine. I wouldn't get sick. I could eat like a pen. I wouldn't get sick. It would give me sustenance. But the way the genie would fuck me is he would just make it so that I was constantly shitting all the time.
Or that you couldn't go at all.
Different compared to now. How?
Yeah.
Well, compared to now, it's
far off.
Like, yeah, compared to now, I can't eat anything, and that's way worse.
He's like, yeah, that's pretty much like it is right now. My life is awesome. Well, actually, you're on this diet, so you can't eat anything.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I can't eat anything. It sucks.
So this is a way, this whole game was a way for you to vicariously live in a way that doesn't require you to be on your diet.
My fantasy.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so we'll do 2 contests. We'll have one, this one, the superhero game, where Jay will send you something. And then the contest we had planned is basically codenames with magic cards. So, on the GoFundMe page, I'll post a picture of 25 cards in a 5x5 grid. I am your spy master. We are the red team, and we have the first go. So the clue is Battle Buddies 5.
Wow, all Battle right. Buddies 5 is a good clue.
Now, go on to the GoFundMe, comment, or donate. That would be awesome. A donation would be great, too. Or comment on the episode, and the most
will basically kind of pick from among the people who get the majority of them correct. So basically, you have to guess 5 cards that relate to this clue, and the most accurate wins.
And you have to get them. You have to get them in order. So if you guess 3 of them right, the 4th one wrong, and the 5th one correct, you do not get the 5th one because you lose your turn as soon as you're wrong.
Wow.
Mm. Wow. And you have to also state how a genie would answer the question.
Right, well. Right, yeah. Exactly.
So yes. And once again, that URL is gofundme.com/ateamToronto.
Is that with an A?
E-H.
Yes, it's with an A.
Oh, man. Hey, so before we leave, KYT, Sean Roden, Enemy Zero, says that he misses you so much.
Wow. Mm. I miss him too, man.
You know what? That guy moved to my city for like, I want to say it seemed only like a year.
And yeah?
We never hung out. We tried, but we never could.
Yeah, I did Skype Bible study with this guy, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's cool, man. I know you and Scotty aren't coming. Makes me sad.
Yeah, sorry.
What about the appetite I have, man? Come on.
Well, you had to pick different subject matter, but you gotta use like metaphors, you know.
I got an appetite for a big fat burrito. That's what I got.
Come bro. I'll make you one.
If there's like a burrito church, I'm in. And the Lord said, let there be sour cream. And the spiciest of salsas shall tempt you.
I might cash in on that, man. Yeah, I might start a church, and then you're going to have to come, Jay.
Yeah. I'm gonna be sitting here eating crow and burrito.
A crow Nita's burrito.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Sounds like something you get in Tijuana.
So how long is this episode? Is Kyle just going to totally kill you guys?
Oh, yep. No. He's going to kill you.
Yes, that's true.
Sorry, Kyle. I love you. I also have an appetite for you, Kyle.
And also another little bit of self-promotion. I will be streaming once again on Friday at 1 p.m. Central Time.
We don't really have time for this.
Go fuck yourself, Jay.
Fund me.
Go fund yourself.
Twitch.tv/MattJMendoza. And you can tune in there.
Twitch.tv/MattJMedina. I mean Mendoza.
Slash.
Hashtag more Mendoza.
Oh, that's... No. See, that's never been a hashtag. That's interesting.
It was a hashtag during the episodes that you were gone, Jay.
I don't know if that's true.
Because I was like dutifully making sure the A team continued.
I'm gonna have to go back.
Yeah,
and
you were absent.
He did actually get a couple of those hashtags. It did happen.
Huh. Well, I don't listen to those episodes anyway.
Or any of them, really.
That's true. I listened to the Scotty episode.
It was good, right?
Yeah, it was.
Top 10?
Easy top 10.
Yeah.
Medina has the other 9. Yeah.
Like somebody should definitely, we've been around long enough, somebody should definitely make top 10.
Like a greatest hits, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like
I already know what my number 1 is.
What is it? It's
you two and Mike Flores. That one line that I love so much. That motherfucker didn't teach me shit. That was so good.
Oh, Mike Flores. Oh, man.
Oh, it's classic. And then you hear Mike try to interject you while you're ranting.
Right?
But I was like...
Was that the OMG episode?
It might have been. It might have been.
Because, like, Jay was so tuned out in that episode.
Oh.
Oh, man. I think one of my favorite 18 moments, and I've probably said this on the cast before, was when you guys were calling Jay on vacation.
when I was in. That's my wife's favorite AG moment.
Oh, man, I was so, like, I was busting up laughing at that moment because you guys were, like, trying to learn Spanish on the fly. Like, how do you say zero? Oh,
that was so good. And they just kept calling the people next door.
That was the most insane episode for me, just because the editing was, like, awesome. That's all Kyle, but also just the that moment was just so good. So good.
All right, well, thanks for listening. Medina, where can they find you on Twitter should they want to get in contact with you?
Okay, yeah, if you want to talk to me on Twitter, I'm at Jonathan, JonathanAthan, D Medina, Medina. So you can tweet me on there if you want to talk about anything. If you have questions or if you just want to diss me or, you know, hate on me, that's cool too. So you can do that there. And that's it. I don't have a website or any kind of like articles or anything like that. I just chill out, you know. I don't have a stream.
Must be nice.
It is nice.
This burden of content creation.
Yeah, I got a different kind of burden.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening. This has been A-Team 269.
269. Like number 15 or something.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.